Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the Smoking Solution System is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. The Iraqi Governing Council has delayed a meeting to pick a new president by a day. That means the United Nations coalition authorities will miss a self-imposed end-of-the-month deadline to announce a new government. Three officials reported the postponement without giving a reason. However, the delay in choosing a president suggests differences persist between the council and the U.S.-run coalition over who should get that job. Cleanup continues in Saudi Arabia's eastern province after gunmen opened fire Saturday on three complexes and seizing a huge group of hostages. Complexes are mostly used by Americans and other foreigners. According to official Saudi press agency, 10 Saudis and expatriates, including one American, were killed in the attack. Sporadic gunfire continued through the weekend in the Khobar region where the attacks occurred. The tension in the area has heightened concerns among American lawmakers. They're concerned about the safety of other Americans and the impact the unrest will have on the already spiraling price of oil. Iraqi self-rule is virtually a month away with no sign of an abatement in the violence that continues to mar any peaceful transition of power. Published report this weekend points to civic leaders in the capital of Baghdad stage local government meetings amid gunfire and mortar attacks by insurgents. Civic council affected by the round of attacks was one of several that have been established to introduce Iraqis into the system of democracy. Members of the council that have been formed have been deemed American collaborators. The attacks are raising questions over the example the Americans are trying to influence Iraqi nationals to consider. The American agency responsible for the formation of different governmental councils is also somewhat doubtful about their impact. President Bush has come under another round of attacks from his Democratic presidential rival, John Kerry. Massachusetts Senator charged that Bush's myopic focus on Iraq had made Americans less safe, that is, by giving North Korea and Iran time and opportunity to speed toward the construction of nuclear weapons. Kerry's comments came during an hour-long interview with the New York Times in which he covered preemptive military strikes and a range of other issues. Kerry also talked about a plan he will introduce this week to limit the spread of nuclear materials. Kerry also slammed Bush over his assessments of the threats to America as being riddled with misjudgments. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. And other stories making headlines, the suffering on the island of Hispaniola, sharing both the Dominican Republic and Haiti, continues. This after a small earthquake rocked both nations, already reeling from the effects of torrential rains and flooding. Over 2,000 lives have been lost in the natural disaster. American, Chilean, and Canadian soldiers have been involved in a recovery effort. The fiscal burden associated with the crisis in Haiti has been particularly hard, since the new government in Haiti only has a few million dollars in its coffers. The government says it could only provide $250,000 to assist the operation. The United Nations is providing $380,000, but most of the financial assistance promised from foreign governments is yet to come. Watchdog Organization on Religious Liberties recommended early this month that half the nations be added to a State Department list of the world's worst violators of religious freedom. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Imagine if flowers fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Unfiltered. The government has just taken a big duty on Sesame Street and paid no attention to the Sesame Street neighborhood. Besides Big Bird, the most prominent resident is Oscar, a homeless guy who lives in a garbage can. And we think it's adorable that he just lives in the garbage can for 30 years and that that's some sort of social progress within a community. I don't think so. Cookie Monster is still a hopeless addict. Bert and Ernie live together yet can't get married. They have a love that they cannot speak.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, a surprise newcomer to Recovery Corner. Plus, we'll reveal the top secret contents of today's presidential daily briefing, unless the man gets to us first.
Uh-oh.
That's coming up right now. Of course, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Good morning.
Hello. We've got a couple of emails. I just realized that if you don't, when is that Don't Buy Gas Day? Is that today or tomorrow? It's in June. We're going to find out the day on that, you know, because I just realized that that's one way not to spend put money into right-wing agenda pockets. Mm-hmm. We just had a segment last hour. Rebecca Treister was here from Salon.com about the Curves fitness places.
Salons.
That, the gyms that are, you know, the owner was supposedly, the CEO was supposedly kicking money back into, you know, outrageous and extreme anti-abortion groups. And we put the question out to people about what you feel about supporting companies that put money into right-wing causes. And we got a couple emails. Here's from a woman here. I'll tolerate the existence of parties who work to erode women's productive rights. I don't have to subsidize them. I don't care if CEO Heaven, is that his real name?
Haven.
Haven, the guy from Curves, isn't as vicious an anti-abortion activist as Randall Terry. Any group or individual who tries to interfere with the exchange of reproductive information between women and their doctors endangers women's and children's health, and he's not going to do it on my dime.
Ooh.
Yeah, here's another one from Chris. Mother Jones had a blurb in the last issue showing where credit card companies give their political dollars. As a result, I dropped my account with Capital One and switched to Bank of America. At least Bank of America gives about 50-50. Capital One gives almost all to the Republicans. Only Providian gave more to the Dems, but they wouldn't give the excellent deal Bank of America.
That's the rub, isn't it, though? It's all about balancing your own bottom line versus your moral standpoint.
What's that weird moment in that? Did you see that movie Changing Lanes? You know, with it's a great movie, I think. It's a great recovery movie. But there's a moment there where Sidney Pollack, the lawyer who's corrupt and just, you know, is being accused of bilking some dying guy out of his fortune, he says, at the end of the day, you know, I feel that I do more good than bad.
Right.
That, like, if you're in a world where you ride that line all the time, that's the only way you can rationalize it. But more importantly, John McCain took some hits from Dennis Hastert yesterday, the Speaker of the House. And we don't have sound on this, but it was pretty, you know, it was real bully stuff, and it was real nasty because McCain's a decent dude, you know, and Hastert doesn't say much, and now when he did, he's an ass. A reporter asked, I heard a speech from John McCain the other day, and Hastert said, who? The reporter said, John McCain. And Hastert said, where's he from? What a cocky bastard. And the reporter says, he's a Republican from Arizona. Hastert goes, a Republican? Who is McCain? I mean, this guy is such a, it's so, and they were giggling girls behind him. They weren't girls. They were other senators and congressmen. Who was behind him? I'm going to have to take a look at that picture. But we're trying to encourage our listeners to email Dennis Hastert by writing to dhastert@mail.house.gov. And tell him a little bit about John McCain. You can tell him things like, John McCain was shot down over Vietnam in 1967 and held as a prisoner of war in Hanoi for 5.5 years. During this time, Speaker Hastert was a football and wrestling coach at Yorkville High School in Illinois. Wow, man.
That's noble.
McCain retired from the Navy as a captain in 1981, taking with him a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, a Legion of Merit, a Purple Heart, and a Distinguished Flying Cross. This is very similar to Hastert winning the 1976 Illinois Coach of the Year Award after guiding the Yorkville Foxes to the state wrestling championships.
Go Foxes!
Yeah, man. Hastert's really got a lot of right to question someone else's integrity. In 1997, John McCain was named one of the 25 most influential people in America by Time Magazine. It was around this time that Speaker Hastert led the fight with McCain to successfully repeal the Social Security earnings limit that kept millions of senior citizens from working. In his spare time, McCain wrote a best-selling book, Faith of My Fathers, about his dad and grandfather, both four-star admirals in the Navy. Speaker Hastert can relate to a man who makes the most out of his free time. When Congress isn't in session, Denny likes to attend wrestling meets, restore vintage automobiles, and paint duck decoys.
You know what this, or how this started, don't you?
Oh, yeah, here's the email address, dhastert@mail.house.gov. This is, you know, and McCain, he's a Republican, but all he did was tell the truth and say, look, you know, you got no business cutting taxes, you know, in a time of war. People in the history of America have been willing to make sacrifices in order to fund our armed forces properly, you know, and for you to cut taxes and build up the debt to a point where it's going to, you know, it's going to bankrupt the country just about is un-American, retarded, and not democratic.
Well, see, and this is what happens, you know, when people like Hastert, and again, you can draw a straight line to the White House on this, it gets down to a whole patriotism thing. You're not a Republican, you're not a patriot, you're not behind us on this.
Right.
It is shamelessly political.
It's also shamelessly bullying of the media, and I know I want to take off these reporters to some kind of, like, guts boot camp and get them to stand up to these guys. I mean, when Hastert says a Republican, you know, you want the reporter to come back straight away with a question, like, you know, exactly what Mark has just said. I mean, Hastert needs to be pinned to the wall by a reporter on this stuff and then kind of widely quoted. It's completely outrageous to bully a reporter this way, and really disappointing to me in the extreme that the reporter seems to have let himself be bullied. Hastert can't get away with this stuff.
But was he bullying him or was he trying to make a smug joke?
Either way, I think because, you know, you imagine you're in the position of a reporter talking to Hastert, who's a reasonably big guy, and he's, you know, an influential guy, and in that situation, he is the one who sort of controls and has respect, and the other guy is needs to get information
from
him.
Well, let's play it out. How would you do it? Like, ask, like, you know, you're the reporter, and I'll be Hastert.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
I heard a speech from John McCain the other day.
Who?
John McCain.
Who's he? Where's he from?
He's a Republican from Arizona. Because now I'm rattled, okay? Now I'm rattled.
Now you're rattled.
Because he's forced me on the defensive. I'm not doing it the ideal way. I'm saying how it could have happened.
So you're saying he made a fool.
He's a Republican from Arizona. I mean, meanwhile, in your brain, you're going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Is this a joke? Is he setting me up? Doesn't he know? Scramble, scramble, scramble. System overload.
Right.
Okay, now you're Hastert.
Okay, yeah, a Republican?
Uh-oh, my tape's broken. it throws you. It does throw you. Unless you're a really seasoned reporter, you go, of course he's a Republican. You know, he's the guy who was shot down over Vietnam in 1967 while you were a football and wrestling coach in Yorkville High School in Illinois.
Would a reporter say that?
No,
ever?
He might not have known that, but a reporter should say that.
No, but I mean, just
a tough reporter would say that if he or she were in an interview on camera or with a tape and had prepped. But if he, I mean, this could have been along the corridor or you know, you're in front of a lot of other people and you're intimidated because, I mean, you're not on a level playing field as a reporter when you're interviewing a member of Congress. You should be, and you need training to make sure that you think that you are, because you are the fourth estate. You know, you have a right to ask those questions. You have a right to put out there what you think the public needs to know. But in all these situations, it's a power trip.
Well, the reporter did finish his question because there was a second part to the question, and that's why Hastert responded the way he did. The reporter asked, anyway, his observation was never before when we've been at war have we been worrying about cutting taxes, and his question was, where's the sacrifice? And then to that, Hastert responded, if you want to see the sacrifice, John McCain ought to visit our young men and women at Walter Reed and Bethesda. There's the sacrifice in this country. We're trying to make sure they have the ability to fight this war and that they have the wherewithal to be able to do it. And at the same time, we have to react to keep this country strong.
Now, so he dodged it, kind of.
Well, but yeah, because the answer makes no sense.
Right.
Absolutely no sense whatsoever when you consider the question. The question was, McCain said, where's the sacrifice? So Hastert, Walter Reed and Bethesda.
People are dying. People are hurt.
Yeah. But that should reinforce McCain's point. Why are you cutting taxes when people are dying? Instead, Hastert made it sound as if you cut taxes to keep the country strong, which is absurd.
Doesn't make any sense, and it just shows that these guys are willing to, you know, put their political agenda, you know, above anything else. Like, they're afraid of raising taxes because they underestimate the ability of the American people to realize that that's a sacrifice that needs to be made in order to fund the troops. This is the way it's supposed to work. So they're willing to put this country into debt that is never going to be repaid, probably not in my lifetime or yours, in order to, you know, maintain power. You know, as opposed to say to the, speak responsibly to the American public and say, look, we've got to make some sacrifices. We're at war because they're too afraid of losing their job.
You know, you have a dream diary coming up, and I have this recurring dream that scares the bejesus out of me.
What's that?
That, you know, because I'm a baby boom generation.
Right.
And I have this dream that all of the Generation Xers, the people that are younger than me, band together and they realize that the baby boomers are going to spend all of this money in retirement and they're going to take up all the Social Security money. So they decide to start killing off baby boomers. There'll be some money left.
We should just tell them there's no money anyway.
Yeah.
Now there's no money for you guys either. Maybe your kids will have money.
I think they might still pull the trigger.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
With that big of an agenda. I can't even imagine, like, what these guys are thinking. I mean, the national debt, I mean, how can deficits not matter? How can they say that? How can this administration believe that?
Given what happened during the 90s, that's a very important question, because Clinton paid down the deficit throughout the 1990s, and we had the most unprecedented period of economic growth in the history of the country.
But rising incomes, the tax, people were paying more taxes. The economy was doing great then. That's how they paid it off.
Still ahead, Recovery Corner, and up next, the Dream Diary, right here on Air America Radio.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid. Because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple? Grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Morning, it's Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. God, every time I hear this song, it just makes me almost cry because I want to be in high school again. God, wouldn't that be great to be in high school again where none of this stuff mattered?
Without the exams.
I didn't go to them anyways. Never was that great at it. We want to give out Dennis Hastert's email address again. We're urging people to write him an email and tell him exactly who, you know, John McCain is, because he had problems with his memory the other day in a smug, fat bastard way that, you know, he was, you know, making fun of McCain for standing up for, you know, what American principles are. So you might want to do a little research or hang out, and I'll tell you the research again on McCain. But dhastert@mail.house.gov is his address. And if you want to just, you know, in a very immature way, just say, you're a smug, fat bastard, and I hope you don't last long. You know, and you can say that's from you or me or, you know, and I'll support it on a policy level. Morning Sedition here on Air America. It's now time to do the Dream Diary, which is, you know, some people really, really love this thing, but nothing, no other bit makes poor people more aggravated than this one either. It really rides that line, man. But I got to feel at the end of the day that I do more good than evil. Here's my dream diary, which my therapist told me. I'm going to him today. I'll bring it with him there. I'm going to read it. Here we go. I'm in a duck blind with Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush, and I'm breathing fast, and I'm drooling. You know, I feel ready. Everyone's got camo gear on except for Bush, and he's wearing a duck suit. And we have the biggest guns in the world, like, you know, Yosemite Sam, like those size, that kind, you know, those kind of guns. Okay, so we're just sitting there, and we're sitting there for, like, it could have been a day, it could have been a year, it could have been seconds. Rumsfeld shoots a duck and then puts a hood over it and photographs it stacked on top of some other ducks while he points at it and laughs. Suddenly, Scalia flies overhead and Cheney shoots him. A bird dog trots out and retrieves it with his mouth, and then I realize that I'm the bird dog, and that Scalia tastes really gamey, and it's weird. And Cheney stuffs Scalia in a bag and goes back to sitting. He scratches behind my ears and rubs my belly. 3 years pass. We're still waiting for ducks. No one is budging. Finally, I say, in dog, when are we leaving? Which was... They turn to me, and Rummy yells, they don't have a democratically elected government. Cheney bellows, it's not stable. Bush yells, we're not going to cut and run. But it's hard to accept a lecture from a guy in a duck suit, you know. So I say, we're just going to, you know, sit in this duck blind forever. In dog again, I said that. And no, not forever, Bush says. Not just until Jesus comes. And right when he says it, Jesus comes. And he says, go home, you idiots. You're wasting your life on this stuff. And he turns to me and he says, come on, doggy, come here. And then me and Jesus walk across the lake together. And I woke up and my bed was filled with the Ark of the Covenant. What does that mean, Chris? Chris, my board op, was like, you know, you got to read this, man. What was the guy's name? The guy who wrote the Da Vinci Code, the first one? Demon?
Dan Brown,
yeah. The Ark of the Covenant. So there we go. That's I can't wait to bring that into my therapist.
Hey, Jesus, he's a straight shooter.
I'm Jesus's dog. I like saying that.
So do you consider yourself to be a nice guy?
You know, I am until I feel threatened. You know, which is, so when I'm sleeping.
You feel threatened on plane?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because nice guys apparently will finish first, at least if Delta Airlines has it. Now, Delta's about, I don't know how many billion dollars. Oh, they've lost $3 billion in the last 3 years. They may be facing bankruptcy, but they've got enough money left over to give nice airline passengers on their airline that's called Song.
Yeah, the new one, the one they're trying to do a JetBlue thing.
Yeah. 5,000 round-trip tickets to people who are nice to other passengers.
I'm nice to people.
Or who don't bitch and moan at delays or turbulence or, you know, people.
I don't bitch and moan. I've been known to freak out. Like, I don't freak out as much as I used to with the turbulence, but, man, I used to be bad. Like, one time I was sitting there, I was looking out the window of the plane, and I saw oil coming out of one of the engines, a little drizzle. Just a little drizzle, right?
That's some Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it was clearly a problem. Like, you know, and I was married. It was my first wife. And I was saying, we're like, babe, I think there's a problem here. I think there's a real problem. And you know how your brain, like, just like a psychological pit bull just locks down on something? And it's like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, so for like an hour, I'm like, I'm going to say something. This is bad. And I was one of those people on the airplane that went up to the steward, one of the flight attendants, sweating, panicking, like, look, don't look right now, but but there's some oil coming out of a, you know, and I was freaking out. And you know what the guy said? Without even checking with the pilot, he goes, "That's normal, sir."
That's
like,
normal?
If you're gonna say that, like, go into the cockpit and make it look like you asked somebody who knew what they were talking about. I'm sorry, I'm getting
no, off the top. I mean, no, it makes perfect sense. Now, we have our morning sedition frequent flyer over here, Sue. are you nice when you get in the airport?
You know what? I like to get on, put in earplugs, put in eye shades, and just conk out for the entire trip. I think this free ticket thing of being nice is kind of nauseating. I don't even know how you're going to get on a plane. Oh, after you. No, after you. No, please, after you. I think it's just...
Have you ever helped a passenger
silly.
With a bag?
Yeah, I'm pretty helpful.
But now,
I help people. I swap seats if someone has to sit with their relative and they've, you know, messed up. And people do that for me when I'm with my kids. And
even if it's a middle
I'm
seat?
I'm okay, but, you know, actually, if I get on and it's a night flight, and I've asked for a window and they sit me right next to the galley, kind of on the aisle, and it's crowded and I got bumped off the class I'm supposed to be into another one, then I actually say I am a little grumpy. And I would not be getting the free ticket because I do kind of complain. But my complaint usually means I go and see a supervisor and plead in some kind of really nice way.
Well, here's my question. If you help another passenger with a bag, might that not violate some security regulations in the airport? I mean, you know, they're always asking if you pack the bag you have there next to you. Suppose you're helping a passenger carry a bag, and next thing you know, the bag's got something in it's not supposed to be in it. And now you're dragged into the
And the little old lady's going, I don't know.
Hello?
Not mine.
I don't know the man.
That's not my nuclear device.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I just can't imagine how this is going to happen, though. You get on a flight, and now the attendants, instead of doing their safety procedure thing you're supposed to watch, they're all going to be looking at the passengers as they get on and throughout the whole flight. Like, which one do you think you should get? It's 36F? No, I think 52B is actually being much nicer to his wife, because when she stood on his foot, you know, he said, don't worry, honey.
I think that people, like, are getting used to waiting for hours, and if security in some certain airports are worse than others, I think it's probably pretty easy to tell who the asses are, because, like, some people have to wait a long time, and, like, I get, you know, kind of pissed off sometimes. You know, I don't know if it'll be in-flight behavior, but some people get really steamed.
Well,
I mean,
people are going to get steamed when they start seeing the prices that are going to get charged.
That is true.
With all of this fuel stuff kicking in. The increase in fuel prices means that the price of an airline ticket goes up.
That's a new Bush security plan. Instead of actually putting the money into making them more secure, he's going to bankrupt a bunch of airlines so he only can choose from, like, two. You know, and they'll be really safe.
And one of them be called American, because obviously we have our pride here in the United States.
Bush Airlines.
But here's a good point that one of our assistant producers said, who is a genuinely nice guy, Dan. He goes, this is so unfair, because now when I go on a flight, he said, people are going to be out-nicing me, and they're phony nice. Phony nice. And so I'm always helping old ladies with their bags and putting stuff in the overhead lockers for people. And some other guy's going to be doing it, and he's not for real. He's just doing it with a free ticket. How are they going to distinguish between phony nice and damn nice?
Well, how are we going to distinguish between, like, just a really good ad campaign and, like, an honest-to-God good gesture here? I mean, this is some sort of racket to draw people to this
airline.
Oh,
yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? I fly JetBlue whenever I can.
But you know what? It's brilliant advertising because people like us are talking about it.
Yeah, but if that's what it takes to make people behave properly, is a free flight. I mean, usually, you know, JetBlue, you know, which I fly, I think is great. If you keep a cheap airline and you have the TV and you have something other than potato chips and animal crackers, you might be, you know, a step ahead of JetBlue.
That makes you nice, right?
Yeah. Could end air rage.
I'm Mark Maron. Morning Sedition is on tape for Memorial Day, but we'll be back live tomorrow morning.
Mom. Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
In life, there are well-thought-out choices.
Yeah, I'll go with the six-cylinder.
Radials. Absolutely.
Definitely the four-wheel drive.
And there are ill-considered choices.
Oh, I'm not partial. Any grade will do.
Just whatever's the cheapest, okay?
What do you think, Rex?
Fortunately, a lot of people do give some thought to the gasoline they choose. And people who choose premium gasoline choose Amoco Ultimate at BP more often than any other premium fuel. It's America's best-selling premium. With continuous use of Amoco Ultimate, deposits on critical engine parts that can rob a car of performance get cleaned up and stay clean, giving you smooth acceleration, less hesitation, and better fuel economy. And lower deposits means less harmful emissions. That can lead to cleaner air for everyone. So the next time you get ready to choose a premium gasoline,
we'll go with the right... better make that Ultimate.
For more performance and less pollution, choose America's best-selling premium, Amoco Ultimate at BP.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil liquid gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil relief.
The Majority Report.
Presidential prayer, kids. I want to read just what we're supposed to pray for this week.
Okay.
You've probably heard how some of the people in Iraqi prisons have been treated very badly by those troops who are responsible to keep watch over them.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Pray for the president to team up with Mr. Rumsfeld and for both of them to seek justice and know exactly what to do. I think people are praying hard enough.
I know.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Good morning, I'm Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, as I am here with them every day. But today is different than other days because we have a comedian in the room. You may know him from Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. You may know him from the Conan O'Brien show. You might know him from the roasts on Comedy Central. You might know him if you hang around the Comedy Cellar. Greg Giraldo is in the house.
Hey, guys.
How are you, man?
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me. You know, I was listening in the green room literally for about 20 minutes. And I think you've covered everything. There's nothing else. How do you do this day after day? You pretty much did everything there was to talk
about. There's a lot of reading.
Perfectly.
A lot of reading.
We could just breathe together for the next few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you got a great watch, though. I love that watch.
Oh, thank you very much. I got it because of the Bush economy.
It's about 2 inches thick.
Buy these things.
You also just bought a big old TV, man. The high definition TV.
I bought, you know, I'm buying a lot of stuff. Like I said, I used to be, you know, I used to be a lot more liberal, and now I've been getting a lot of these high-paying corporate gigs, so I'm getting more conservative.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it is what happened. I'm starting to see their side of it, actually.
You start to realize, like, hey, I got some money. I can live in a place with a little security.
Yeah, exactly. I could actually buy nice things and maybe not hate things as much as I did before.
So you're evolving out of any sort of liberal disposition whatsoever?
Well, a little bit, especially in a time of war. I heard you guys trashing the president. And, you know, I can't tolerate that sort of thing, you know, because, and people oversimplify. You know, they want to say the president's dumb and insensitive. And, you know, remember that during that correspondence dinner when they showed that video presentation that the president did where he was looking out the window window, and he said, where are the weapons of mass destruction? And he was looking under the sofa, no weapons here.
Yeah.
And a lot of leftists suggested that that was insensitive to sort of trivialize the basis for war like that. And I think, again, that's not fair, and I won't have it. You know, right. I think the president was really looking for the weapons. You know? I think that's how Cheney and Rumsfeld keep him busy. They're like, Georgie boy, the grown-ups have to talk. Go look for bombs under the couch.
And then they said, it'll be funny if we show it.
Yeah, just show it. It'll be hilarious.
We were talking about today's big day in Massachusetts. The gays get to get married.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's you know very excited.
Not only do I think they should be allowed to get married, I think they should have to get married. I'm tired of their happy-go-lucky lifestyles. You know? I'm tired of walking by cafes in Chelsea when they're all body-built, ripped up, planning their next trip to Thailand. You know, and I got to sit there like, all you do is sit there. You know, we got to go see my mother. The gay guys haven't made.
Yeah, they definitely. Now they can finally let it go a little bit. Is that what you're saying? Let them get fat.
That's right. I'm tired of them making us look bad. All, I mean, I can look good in denim short shorts and combat boots, too, if I had all day to do leg presses with the crunch. My friend, you know, just try picking out China patterns and see how those delts look then.
I know. I was wondering about that. Like, look at the haircut I have. This is not a straight man's haircut.
No,
you infiltrated everything. Now I have to go to the gym every day just to look good. But don't you feel good when a gay guy looks at you? Doesn't make you think like, yeah, I must be really hot because, you know, women don't look at me like that.
I guess, although, you know, they're not necessarily always the most discerning. They're men. Let's face it. I mean, you know, they're men just like we are. Yeah. Let's face it.
So they go
for their version of a fatty, too, every once in a while.
What are you saying, man? I've been working out for a long
time. No, you actually do. I was going to say you look kind of more gay than you used to. But that is like the gay guys are the bodybuilders and they're the most fit guys ever. You know, it's going to change the stereotypes. Like, you think he's a little gay? Oh, yeah, he bench presses like 450 pounds. Wow, that is gay. 450.
Yeah, I was walking out of the gym the other day, you know, and like I just gotten this haircut, you know, and I'm not gay, but I don't mind if people, whatever, you know, I
trying.
You like to be oval.
Yeah. Can I just say for the benefit of the listeners who can't actually see your haircut, there's a little pointy bit that's kind of short around most of the haircut.
And
in the middle, there's like a pointy bit that's like a little elf or something that sticks up in the middle.
I had this weird moment where I'm walking on the elevator and these three women in Queens are walking out and one of them under her breath says Fudge Packer. And there was a moment there where, what can I really do? Like, wait, I am not.
You could have stopped having sex with that guy.
Hey, I didn't think they saw it.
Oh, you were just walking?
Yeah, walking down the street.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
Isn't it tough being a comic sometimes, dude?
Well, now it is, because you want to talk about sort of topical stuff, and it's not exactly the most hilarious time in history, and the fact is most people now want escapist stuff anyway. They don't, you know, they're looking for an escapist, which to me, even the whole reality genre, even the concept of reality is like, that even the reality TV in itself is sort of a denial and escapist concept. That it's like, this is reality. This is, you know, it's not
right.
It's not Iraq and what's happening in Afghanistan. It's, you know, what steroid-addled bartender could eat the most monkey brains. That's real. That's what's real. And every show is a reality show. And it's gotten so absurd that they even have this new one coming out, The Contender. Have you seen that one?
Which
is about, boxers. They're going to go across America and they're going to find the best boxer. And
I heard about that.
Sylvester Stallone's hosting it.
Yes.
Just so they can use the slogan, I could have been a contender. It's a high concept.
No, they're going to go and find who the best boxer in America is. And you know, we already had that show, and it was called Boxing.
Yeah, right. And there's two of them, because one is Stallone, and then one Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, and Oscar De La Hoya was supposedly, again, all controversial.
Oh, that's the thing about those two having a fight some controversy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole thing's gotten...
I think that what would make that show really interesting, though, is if they had one professional boxer and guys that didn't know how to box.
Yeah, just amateurs.
Watch them get caught.
Well, what you'd think would be next, like a complete, like some sort of Coliseum type of
event. Much like Joey Buttafuoco and Tanya Harding when they had those matches. I love that.
That is great. It is hard not to enjoy that.
Yeah. Are they going to have female boxing or is just male boxing?
Did you see the one with Tanya Harding and Paula Jones fought each other and Paula Jones covered up and ran into the corner?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
how far
wonderful.
Are we?
I loved it.
How far away are we from, like, you know, reality shows where people actually die when they lose? I mean, it's got to be soon, right?
It seems to be getting close.
Oh, my God.
There was somebody. Remember that case of the, what show it was now? Sally Jesse Raphael?
After the Jenny Jones show.
No, that was Jenny Jones.
It was one of those.
That was Jenny Jones.
I get them all. It's a blur of reality.
But that's what starts happening once you have this completely open and confessional culture, and it's, you know, it, which I guess is it's good on some level, but I mean, I don't mean to be hypocritical. I've done immoral, terrible things, but I lie about it.
We've all done.
And you should not on camera.
No, and I'm a Christian, so I have the decency to lie and cover up my faults, and, you know, but these shows, like, I was watching one of those daytime talk shows the other day, and there was all these girls on there that had babies and they didn't know who the father was, and they were just proud as hell to be on television bragging about it. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite, but there was a time in our history where if you got pregnant and you didn't know who the father was, you thought, wow, I'm a bit of a whore. You know, I think I slept with too many dudes last month. I should have kept better records, maybe a journal or a sign-in book, and you'd be a little embarrassed. You'd make up lies to tell the kid your father was a hero. He died in the war.
Yeah.
And then the kid would grow up and think, wait, we never went to war with Holland in the 70s. What kind of lie was that? But at least you tried. You didn't go on the Maury Povich show and spin a big wheel to see which toothless mullet head was your baby daddy. And yeah. Once we start glorifying those kinds of, you know,
parade of dysfunction.
It's going to lead to the sort of tragedy that happened on the Jenny Jones show.
Or,
no, I'm not a conservative.
It leads to going out and buying big screen TVs and big fat watches.
It does. You just
get pushed over the edge.
It could be. But no, I'm not a conservative. I'm actually more reactionary than anything else. It really depends on who I'm on.
I think the Maury Povich stuff is the funniest stuff I see on TV.
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
It's the 26th time that this woman has come back to try and find out. And each time she comes back, she says, I'm certain it's this one,
yeah.
And then Maury does his DNA, and it's not this one, and she goes into hysterics. Yeah. And Jerry Springer, who, by the way, now is apparently going to be an alternate delegate to the Democratic Convention.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
I think that's wonderful.
But all those, we got to go, and we're going to come back. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. I guess we'll take your calls about how come liberals generally don't have such a great sense of humor? Isn't it okay to laugh even if you're a liberal and hypersensitive? Give us a call with Geraldo here on Air America Radio.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Imagine if stars fell from the sky.
Imagine if there are no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now.
My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid. Because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Good morning. It's 44 past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Greg Giraldo is here. We're talking about humor. And I guess I'm just appealing to some people. Like, you know, liberals can get very sensitive about almost anything to the point where it's hard to know what is and isn't funny. So give us a call. What's on your mind about that? Right now it is time, as we do every day, for the morning devotional. Ah, dear Lord. Vatican officials have said Catholics should restrain themselves from marrying Muslims, especially Catholic women and Muslim men. I'm confused, Lord. If you really want to keep us apart, you've got to do something about the sex drive. It just makes everyone hot for everyone else. Muslims hot, Catholics hot, Jews hot, Buddhists hot, Episcopalians. Well, my point is, Lord, they're all your creations, right? So they're all hot. You're one sexy divinity, Lord. Don't deny it. You know you're all that, Lord. So we've got two options. Either we stay in our own little neighborhood and only procreate with people exactly like ourselves, or it's open season and we mix the gene pool until we all come out the same shade of beige. The Vatican is clearly going with option A, but everything in my being is going towards that hot Pakistani woman I see on the elevator. Give us a sign, Lord. Please. Please. Thanks, man. And don't take that the wrong way, honey. Amen.
That was comedy, wife. That was comedy.
Uh-oh.
You got to draw this distinctions. We were talking about that.
You do have to draw those distinctions. It's all for the job.
I mean, like, man, it's like if you say, yeah, oh, here's the number, 866-303-2270. Give us a call. We're talking about comedy. Yeah, I mean, I had to be careful. Like, yeah, you have to pass stuff off with your wife. Don't you have to
go? The one about wanting her dead, like that kind of stuff?
You have to go. I'm just
the
kidding.
The one about the waitresses in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah.
Those you got to kind of fictionalize. You know. Let's just say me or someone like me.
Yeah.
One of my best friends who's also a comic.
Okay.
If I were like that guy. Yeah.
Chris. I thought you were about to tell us
a great story. That's the
Chris in Connecticut, what's going on?
Well, you know, I what I think is funny is sometimes when you can't tell if things are funny or not. Like, I can't tell if it's funny or not that everybody is upset about the voting scandal on American Idol.
Right, yeah, what is that?
They're not upset about the voting scandal in 2000 that got our current president into office.
Right. Or even informed about the you know, easily fixed voting machines, the Debo machines. It's hilarious, though, because we even had that conversation today. It's like, can you believe it's rigged?
Yeah.
That people can vote more than once. And
People get fired up about all that voting. They even get voted, you know, like people, I like the people that vote in for like these July 4th weekend music marathons, like the Firecracker 500.
Yeah,
you know, like they're sending 50 letters to vote for like Stairway to Heaven, but they won't show up and vote for president.
Why can't they just be president like
well,
that?
Well, people just find the weirdest things to get fired up about. Like, of course, the most controversial of all issues was the Spider-Man logo on the
oh,
pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, how could they debase the sanctity of our temple of baseball. People are calling Jorge Posada, you know, kind of thing you would say if you weren't on the radio.
Okay,
in front of children. God forbid you put a logo on the base.
No, you can't. It wasn't even a logo. It was just a little web on the base. And that's in a stadium that's surrounded by ads. It's like a complete collage of advertising.
But
Scott, okay, well, we just...
That was even, like, I remember when the whole Bin Laden, you know, even when the war was starting, we got to find Bin Laden. He's public enemy number one. We got to find Osama Bin Laden. And then the new season of American Idol came on. I'm like, forget it. Ruben.
Scott in Pennsylvania. Scott, what's on your mind, man?
Morning, all.
Hey.
Well, all right. Well, let's try and flesh something out.
I don't know.
Greg, great show, by the way, everybody. Greg, my favorite moment on Colin Quinn's show is when you absolutely shot down Dennis Leary for just taking himself way too seriously one night.
Yep.
Well done.
He almost got his ass kicked for that moment.
Oh.
Yeah,
did you think it was going to go to throws?
But if you ever seen Dennis Leary in person, you wouldn't be worried about getting your ass
kicked. All right, what else is on your mind, buddy?
I was thinking the other day about the difference between conservatives and progressive liberals. I think that sarcasm and irony are very closely related, and they're both very high forms of humor in an odd way. Irony, sarcasm are completely and utterly lost on conservatives, whereas most liberals I know who don't take themselves ultra seriously that is their primary method of humor. Only conservatives could talk about the public discourse being mean-spirited and horrible, and then turn around and talk about what a horrible man John Kerry is and how progressives are baby killers in America.
Right, they're bullies. And that's a good example because it's like Dennis Miller, who I was never really a fan of because I always thought he was somewhat of an intellectual fraud, was this, ironic, he was like looked at by liberals and people of our ilk as being this guy who was doing real iconoclastic, smart comedy, assaultive. I always thought he was just a very eloquent name caller. But he started taking himself too seriously, and he completely changed sides, and now no one gives a crap about
him. Well, it's not even that he changed sides as much as that he's just become such a shill. It's hard to trust anybody's comedic insight if it's predictable and completely one-sided. Really. And you can't tell me that there's, even if you're conservative in principle, you can't tell me there's nothing to criticize about the Bush administration. You can't tell me that there's
especially
nothing funny about what's going on there.
I just think I hate him. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Greg Giraldo.
Very
eloquent. Take a couple more calls here on Air America.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs and not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
We're coming in for landing here on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Greg Giraldo is hanging out. We're going to take a couple more calls because it's fun and we like to. Mike in New Jersey. Mike, I got a feeling.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I just want to tell you guys are a great alternative to Russ Lamo and Shauna Saturday.
Thank you. Shauna Saturday. I never heard that. Good one. So what's going on?
I think I think that the right is not too humorous because I think pretty much their self-righteousness has turned out to be not so righteous.
Right, right. And you think liberals are, you know, how do we rank?
I think you guys are just a lot smarter about your arguments, and you actually look into the facts, whereas they're just ranting and raving because they're just sore losers because they're wrong. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's the conservatives. Like here, like on the board that came up, it said like your call is about liberals being sore losers and self-righteous. And I was like, uh-oh.
We wait to bite your head off, Mike. Yeah. You messed up, man.
Thanks, so. Yeah, I think you're right. They are self. And that's weird because that's exactly what they accuse us of being.
They're dead wrong.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You know, it seems to me like there is a little element of sore loserness on the because the conservatives, they really are winning sort of in a certain way in setting the agenda. Like even the fact that George Bush is viewed as like this ranch hand, you know, how does that get out there? How is that? I mean, how is taking like a month long vacation? When did that become like a sign of he's a man of the people? The fact that he's so used to like loafing on his ranch, he's so used to taking. And you know, how is he a cowboy rancher? I mean, the guy he grew up and went to prep schools. He was a cheerleader at Andover.
How do they believe that?
He's less of a rancher than like the cowboy and the village people. But somehow he's painted himself as this believable everyman.
I had this guy on the plane next to me coming back from London who was a British banker who was coming over to work on Wall Street, and he said to me, is it normal for an American president to spend 8 months of the year on vacation? Yeah. I said, no.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. You know, it's actually starting to fray away that I couldn't understand why people would still defend him. I mean, he's clearly got these weird liabilities personally, and he's not very bright, but yet people would still really find him appealing. But I think it's starting to shed away a little bit, shred.
He's a skilled politician, and you don't have to be bright to be a skilled politician. That's a mistake a lot of people make. I have interviewed some of the dumbest people on earth who some of the most efficient politicians. They've been in Congress for 20 years, some of them.
They just turn it on. They know what to say. Eric in Connecticut. Eric?
First of all, your sponsor of Verbal Advantage. Can we send a copy of that to the president?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I think he needs it. Yeah. Next is that we just find things funny that are different than what the liberals and the conservatives. The conservative point of view is like their sense of humor is like a bully sense of humor.
Right.
It's like they tease people. It's like it's really funny.
They're meanies.
They're meanies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, some conservative humor, I guess, can be mean, but I'd like to think of it as more crass than mean sometimes. I mean, there's a difference between being just sort of, you know, shocking and I what do you think about that? Isn't it funner to be shocking than it is mean?
I don't know. I mean, I like making fun of people, too. I think ultimately part of the problem is that it's this political correctness that sort of indoctrinated a lot of us that went through college in the 80s. And I mean, the idea of not being mean, you know, there's usually a victim in comedy. I mean, somebody,
and there is meanness.
And if someone says, oh, how could you say that? Or that was, you know, nobody, there shouldn't be groans in comedy.
Yeah, there's our, that's the facts coming from the Streisand compound with the liberal agenda for today. So get your pencils, liberal soldiers. Here are your marching orders. One, when children play cops and robbers, tell them instead to call it the oppressors and the unjustly accused. Two, take empty Avion bottles to recycling center. Place redemption money in fund to buy Pilates machines for inner city. I screwed it up. Put the money in a fund to buy Pilates machines for inner city kids.
Yay.
There
you go.
Three, to be empathetic, have a symbolic gay marriage with member of the opposite sex. Four, sleep with the enemy. Well, assume they're the enemy since you don't really always know the people you sleep with. Five, when stopped at a red light, really crank up the Nora Jones CD to show that you still rock.
There you go.
That's the liberal agenda today. Thank you for coming, Greg Giraldi.
Thank you, Mark.
You can see him on Tough Crowd and anywhere. Primarily at the Comedy Cellar.
Seattle this weekend. Palace.
The Giggles?
The Giggles. The actual name is
Know
Les,
Your Venue.
So come on down from Portland. This is Mark Maron, and this is a Memorial Day Encore edition of Morning Sedition. Hey, I rhymed. We'll be back live tomorrow.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hello, this is Danny Glover. I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. At every age, men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you want to be a man and take care of your family, see a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It looks like politics might have spawned a delay in the selection of a new president for the new interim government for Iraq. The Iraqi Governing Council has delayed a meeting to pick a new president by one day. The decision means that the United Nations and the coalition will miss a self-imposed end-of-the-month deadline to announce a new government. Three officials reported the postponement without providing a reason, but the delay in choosing a president is suggesting differences between the council and the U.S.-run coalition over who should get the job. A spokesman for the United Nations envoy says the delay does not mean the process is in jeopardy. Cleanup continues in Saudi Arabia's eastern province after gunmen opened fire Saturday on three complexes and seizing a huge group of hostages. Complexes are mostly used by Americans and other foreigners. According to official Saudi press agency, 10 Saudis and expatriates, including one American, were killed in the attack. Sporadic gunfire continued through the weekend in Khobar region where the attacks occurred. The tension in the area has heightened concerns among American lawmakers. They are concerned about the safety of other Americans and the impact the unrest will have on the already spiraling price of oil. American troops in Iraq died in May at a rate of more than two per day, according to Pentagon figures. That pushes the combined death count for April and May beyond 200, and the figures indicate that the National Guard and Reserve are bearing an increasing combat load. At least 22 of those who died this month were members of the Guard and Reserve. That's nearly one-third of all U.S. losses in May, about double the percentage in the most previous months of the war. And the United States military is announcing three soldier deaths in Iraq in separate engagements. Two lost their lives in a clash with forces loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in the holy city of Kufa. Another died and two were injured by a roadside bomb south of the capital. Pentagon says China is rethinking its military strategy regarding Taiwan because of how the U.S. waged war in Iraq. Pentagon analysis notes China taking into account the speed with which U.S. ground forces captured Baghdad and a prominent role played by U.S. commandos. Report says Iraq war has reinforced China's belief that the U.S. wants to dominate Asia by continuing the growth of Chinese power and is increasingly likely to intervene over Taiwan. Both President Bush and Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry will honor the nation's war dead today. Bush will participate in a Memorial Day observance at Arlington National Cemetery. After the annual wreath laying at the Tomb of the Unknowns, the president is addressing veterans, families, and others in Arlington's Memorial Amphitheater. He'll pay tribute to those who fought and died in all of America's wars. Kerry will head to Portsmouth, Virginia, to march in the city's 120th annual Memorial Day parade. His campaign is convinced his background as a decorated Vietnam vet can help him appeal to voters along the Virginia coast. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Say I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Imagine if flowers fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
If you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
Randy Rhodes.
Conservatives won't allow gays to marry because they'll cite studies that show that children of gay parents rarely grow up to be very strapping heterosexual men and women who one day put underwear on the heads of prisoners and throw naked bodies on the foreigners into piles and torture people with sexual humiliation. That very rarely happens when you come from a sensitive home.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, Tuesday. We've got a whole new generation of Bushisms to share with you. Plus, today's top secret classified, eyes only, confidential presidential daily briefing. It's secret. Shh. That's coming up. Right now, it's morning. It's here. We got Mark Riley. We got Sue Ellicott. We got me. We got to thank Jason Digner out there in Jersey for emailing us the answer. I appreciate it. Woodward, the question, how will history view your decisions? Bush, the answer, history? History? We won't know. We'll all be dead. Thank you, Jason, for the prompt response.
Yes, Jason.
You know, I was, trolling around the internet in the little world of conspiracy and weirdness, and there's this whole, this is a big step for me, man. I mean, usually I'm the first to go along with conspiracy theories, and I'm kind of half going along with this, but I'm starting to think that maybe this one's not true. There's a strand of thought out there that think that Nick Berg was killed as a, you know, a subterfuge, I guess is the word, for the torture scandal by American covert operations people dressed as Arabs.
Arab militants, yes.
And the way they're seeking to prove this is that they have a chair. They have the picture of Nick Berg sitting in a chair, and they've isolated that the chair is the same type of plastic stacking chair that can be seen in some of the pictures of the Abu Ghraib prison, all right? And that they're trying to justify it. Like, and they also say that some of the people in the photograph are white, and that might be true. They might be light-skinned, even if they are Arab. And also that, you know, they're standing in a way that only military people stand. Well, you also have to remember that some of these guys might have been trained by the U.S. military when they were...
during the Iran-Iraq War.
Right. So, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not completely discrediting the conspiracy theory because, you know, part of my brain wants to go along with it. But what would be the point of having them say we're doing this as a reaction to Abu Ghraib? I mean, what? How would that be a subterfuge to anything and not just add more, you know, grist for the mill, if you will? And then, on top of it, there's some actual hard news today that comes out. I think it's an older story. It was originally...
It was an NBC News, and it was picked up yesterday at Slate.com.
Yeah. Abu Musab Zarqawi, the guy who is accused of killing Nick Berg. Now, this guy was apparently one of the only terrorists in Iraq, you know, early on. This was the only connection that Bush had to justifying that there was terrorist connection between Saddam Hussein and not necessarily al-Qaeda, but terrorist factions. He was apparently in the no-fly zone, which Hussein had no real control over. A lot of people within the military world knew this, and they had opportunities to kill this guy. There were plans on the table that said, we can take Zarqawi out. Not once, not twice, but three times this was discussed by Bush and his inner sanctum. All three times, they made the decision not to take the guy out. Why? Because it would interrupt their political motives to, you know, invade Iraq. All right? Now, this is not like Clinton, like when they accused Clinton of not killing, you know, Osama bin Laden. Clinton took a couple shots. They could have taken this guy out, and they didn't because their motives were to go into Iraq no matter what. So on that level, just by a logical series of mathematical equations, Bush can be held personally responsible for Nick Berg's murder. Michael Berg was right in accusing Rumsfeld and Bush for his son's murder. And any other guys, any other people that Zarqawi is accused of killing or can be, you know, attached to Zarqawi's
700 people.
700 people can all be a direct, you know, directly connected to Bush's need to go into Iraq, to his political agenda over the agenda of actually fighting terrorism. There, I said it.
Yeah, you sure did. And you know, this is a story that I'm banking right now will not go away like it did when it was originally done about a month ago, or a couple of months ago. Particularly, I guess, since the, you know, since the murder of Nick Berg, people are focusing on some of the, just like with the Gonzalez thing, they're focusing on some of the early actions of the Bush administration and how the Bush administration chose to prosecute what it called at that time the War on Terror. And, of course, we all know that the War on Terror morphed into the invasion of Iraq.
That War on Terror actually starting to look like a subterfuge for them to go into Iraq, like that they were actually using it, you know, Afghanistan aside, you know, clearly there was indication that there were terrorist camps operating and that, you know.
Yeah.
But that outside of that, they were just using it to justify this neocon agenda that was in place 2 or 3 years ago. That not in place, but it was on paper, and these guys had an agenda. And this was, you know, Bush was convinced that this was the way to go. He was sold on it by Rumsfeld.
Well, he was sold on it, and the thing was, it was part of an ongoing plan of the neocons that you're talking about. They saw an opportunity. Right after September 11th, they saw that, wait a minute, now we've got the catalyst. Now we've got something that we can work with. Before that, they really didn't. It was just talk. Remember, they had gone to Clinton. A group of them had gone to written a letter to Clinton saying, we need to deal with Iraq. So this is not something that they just dreamt up when Bush got elected. This is something they were going about trying to do for a long time. And all of a sudden, here comes the World Trade Center. And it's sad, and I think tragic in a way, that America had to experience this kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys took advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, they saw their window. They're like, you know, there are 3,000, you know, dead people in a smoking hole, and they're like, dudes, let's not look at Gil Torres in the mouth here.
Yep.
They didn't even do a very good job actually going after terrorists in Afghanistan. Because when they did have targets, apparently, everything was kind of held up by having to get permission to go in. And I think lawyers, military lawyers, had to be able to say, yes, fire. And they missed a number of opportunities to kill terrorists, suspected terrorists or known terrorists in Afghanistan. There have been reports about that this week, too.
And then they didn't stay the course there either. I mean, they immediately, you know, when they did this, whatever they did in Afghanistan was not enough because they drained a lot of the troop power out of Afghanistan and sent them to Iraq when that started. And I think Afghanistan now is in a certain amount of disarray. Like, you know, maybe it's settled into the old system of warlords. And I don't know what, you know, Karzai is must just be sitting in an office, you know, wondering who's in charge of most of the country.
With his lovely clothes.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe
he dresses as well.
Yeah, you know, overseeing the oil and heroin business.
But there's still the thing that doesn't quite make sense to me about the Jordanian militant Abu Musab Zarqawi, who had ties to al-Qaeda, was whether Saddam Hussein had ties to Zarqawi. Because although that would have eliminated the cause for war, as that, you know, the Latin phrase casus belli, that's what people need when they go to war, Bush didn't really have one. He never declared war, but the justification he made to the American people and to the world in general was that it was about Saddam Hussein's ties to al-Qaeda. So even if they had gone after, had or had not gone after Zarqawi, how does Saddam Hussein fit into all of this?
Well, he was in Iraq.
Right, he was in Iraq, but we still don't know. I don't know that there's any direct connection between Saddam Hussein and Zarqawi.
Right. He was in the no-fly zone, and Hussein had no control over that region, so he probably had no connection to him.
But that's maybe still where Ahmed Chalabi comes back in again. Maybe he was saying he did have a connection. He was the guy who urged them to go in and remove Saddam Hussein from power, and we know now that his intelligence was very faulty. Either unintentionally so, or made up and embellished for his own political reasons, maybe it was Chalabi who connected Zarqawi to Saddam Hussein.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about this is that we're saying, well, Saddam Hussein didn't have control of southern Iraq, and Zarqawi was apparently able to roam around free.
Right.
Well, now the United States supposedly does have control of Iraq. And Zarqawi is still able to run around free.
They have no idea where he is.
No, they don't know where he is.
Did you see that wanted poster, man? Wanted posters are such a trip, because every one of those pictures, it's like they look like completely different dudes.
Yeah.
The Zarqawi wanted poster. I mean, it all looks so suspect to me. Where'd they get these pictures, and how can that be the same guy? And what is he, some sort of shapeshifter? Is he like some sort of strange, mythical creature?
This is the thing that I think Americans have to really start looking to their government to do. Zarqawi's from Jordan, all right? Jordan is supposed to be one of our staunchest allies in the Middle East.
Jordan's a guy that he apologized to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King Abdullah. You have other people that are involved in this terrorist activity that if they're not nationals of countries that are supposed to be our allies, they seem to be able to roam fairly freely, for example, in Pakistan.
Right, free agents.
Bin Laden is supposedly roaming around somewhere. You know, these people are able to move with impunity.
They can't find him. He's just like 7 feet tall and he's on a dialysis machine.
But this is all why it's so complicated, isn't it? Because it's not about countries. It's not about nationality. Osama bin Laden is a Saudi national, nominally a Saudi national, even though he might not have contact with his family. But this is not about agreements with countries or cooperation with countries or even issues or arguments with specific countries. It's just way beyond that.
Well, see, they just disappear into the crowd, I guess.
At some point, you've got to put all of these countries in a room and say, look, these people are running amok. We want you to do your part to see to it that they do not run amok in your country.
No, but beyond
Musharraf has no interest in bin Laden, hanging out inside Pakistan. Doesn't help him. No.
But what you really need is Muslims, people who are intellectual leaders in the Muslim community to come up and unite and to try to stop all of this. That's what we're lacking here, is a united, reasonable, pan-Arab Muslim voice against terrorism.
Still ahead, Recovery Corner, and up next, the Dream Diary, right here on Air America Radio.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life.
Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid, because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple? Grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free
1-888-922-4673. Good God, it's Tuesday. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron, Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. We're talking the world. It is now 20 past the hour, and it is time now for me to share more about me. And those of you who like me will like this, me being me more. More me from my head. This is my dream diary. As you know, my therapist has told me to write down my dreams. I share them here on a day-to-day level, and some people enjoy them. And it helps me. So I'm trapped. I'm trapped inside a painting. I'm two-dimensional, and I hate it. I got my cheek mashed up against the outside. I'm banging my head. I'm screaming nothing. I'm not a pretty picture. So I'm suspended on a wall in an all-white gallery between a Warhol of Henry Kissinger and a Jackson Pollock that just keeps spraying itself on me somehow. And I think to myself, well, at least I'm hanging with some art worth seven figures here. All right, so now all these trendy sorts in different costumes of hipness wander around sneering at the paintings. But they're weird. They all look like they were painted by Margaret Keane. You know, they have those big sad eyes disproportionate to their faces. But they're attractive in a droopy way, you know. And one bloodless dork in a used work shirt and horn-rimmed glasses, he's like 8 feet tall, looks at me as a painting and says, "So derivative." Marin affects a completely unearned street credibility. It's painful but banal, suburban kind of pain. I try to kill him with my bare hands and I shatter my knuckles. Then it's like his little piercy girlfriend says, "Marin seems so self-indulgent without any redeeming brilliance. If he were somehow more self-indulgent and tedious, I could at least enjoy mocking him." I try to pee on both of them, and the spray bounces off the glass. Another guy looks at me and says, "I don't get it." He's an idiot, though. Then a little kid came up and just started laughing until his head melted, which was cool for me to look at. And the guard just stood there and did nothing, typical. Then one woman looked at me for a really long time and said, "Hmm." That's it. That's all she said. "Hmm.
Then she jumped into the painting with me, and we had this long discussion about post-impressionism. We ate fondue, and we made love right there in the painting. And then she couldn't get out. Like, I gave her cab fare and everything, and she couldn't leave the painting. It was really bad. Then a couple walked up, and the woman said, they were looking at it, said, "This one makes me really uncomfortable." And the guy said, "Yeah, I know what you mean," and they walked off. And I woke up, and my bed was filled with Toulouse-Lautrec impersonators.
Whoa.
That was a party this morning.
I knew that woman was going to get stuck in there.
Yeah.
You did?
And also, did you notice how you unconsciously slip into a British accent when you're doing those sneery types?
Did I?
The girlfriend and the guy with the horium glasses. Yes, you did.
Was it unconscious?
No.
No, I did. I thought I was just doing the standard snobby
voice. I think it was unconscious because you didn't give me that kind of ha, ha, ha look while you were doing it.
Wow, weird. I can't wait till I have a dream about you, Sue. I think I had one a while back.
I can wait, believe me. I can wait. I'm waiting. I'm happy to wait. Forever.
Well, here's some big news for transsexuals.
Yes.
Reaching out to the transsexual community. It has been, transsexuals are now cleared to compete in the Olympics for the first time.
Phew, I was really worried about that.
Yeah, under proposal approved by the IOC, I guess that's the International Olympic Committee. athletes who have undergone sex change surgery would be eligible for the Olympics if their new gender has been legally recognized and they have gone through a minimum 2-year period of postoperative hormone therapy. So they got to be really, like, you know, I got to be honest with you. You know, some of the women in the Olympics are close to being men.
That was only the East Germans, man.
Right, that's
come
right.
On.
That's the East Germans. What I'm hoping, though, is, like, first of all, depending on the transgender and how good the surgery is and a lot of other factors, this will bring a whole new element of excitement to the Olympics. You know, it'll have that sort of, that weird kind of suspenseful excitement that sometimes you get at the gay pride parade.
Or Wigstock.
Or Wigstock or something like that. And I think it'll be really interesting when they actually approve steroids to be used. Because then you'll just have like these weird, like, you know, juiced up, ripped, hermaphroditic mutant athletes. You know what I mean? Just like running on the track. It'll just be like the monster parade.
I'm wondering how they'll do the drug test. That's going to be really messed up. Surely they're all going to fail. They have 2 years of post-op hormone therapy. There's bound to be something that comes up that's banned.
Well, that's what they're saying, is that they're saying they give this 2-year period so that sex settles in, because you would think that there would be an advantage for men who become women and then compete in women's sports, because there is a little edge to the men in some sports.
Like Renee Richards back in the tennis days.
Right, but they said that, like, actually once they get a certain amount of this hormone therapy, if a man's becoming a woman, that some of the testosterone gets drained away.
So that means pre-ops are out of luck.
Well, yeah, I would. Yeah,
the ones that haven't had the surgery yet.
No, drag queens are not allowed to.
No House of Wong? No House of Labasia?
Apparently female hormones can really help your performance as well. I remember once hearing an East German athlete talk about how right after she'd had a baby, how she had to get right back into training again within the first 3 months. Because apparently your body then is all awash with these, not male hormones, but female hormones. And that gives you an advantage in performance.
Oh, yeah? Oh. In what sport was that?
I don't know. It was athletics. It was either a jumper or a runner or something like that.
Uh-oh. A jumper.
For Jonathan, in my head, he just said chess. I didn't say it. I'm washing my hands.
Cynic.
But in a related story.
Why is this story related?
Because Harvard students, they voted for gender-neutral bathrooms.
Say why it's related, because it's the next one on the piece of paper.
No. It's about transgender, too.
This is for bright transsexuals.
Yes, exactly. For the honor league, honor roll transsexuals. Jordan B. Woods, political chair of the Bisexual, Gay, Lesbian, Transgender, and Supporters Alliance, that's a big umbrella, spoke to the council in favor of the bill, which urges Harvard to remove male or female designations from all single occupancy bathrooms.
That's fine. Does it come with a training program to flush
and not pee on the seat?
Yeah, exactly. Then it's fine with women.
But I thought it was like group bathroom, single occupancy. Who cares? That's just, I mean, you know, that's just a single occupancy bathroom. What? So now they just say take the signs off, and that's supposed to be some big break?
I mean, if there were two
who
bathrooms?
Doesn't use it anyways?
I mean, if like in a restaurant, if there's a female bathroom and a male bathroom, they just take the signs off, and anybody can go in.
Anyone can go in anyways. I mean, come on. You ever see guys standing there, even when the girls' room is open, the women's room's open, and they're standing there waiting for the men's room? It's like, what do you think's What do you think's in there, buddy?
But you know what? It's usually the other way around, and it's sad because it's the women. Any event you ever go to, you see women lined up for days waiting to get into the two stalls where, on the other hand, men have urinals. We have that advantage.
That makes me mad that when women come out and you've been waiting forever and ever and ever, and then she comes out wafting with perfume in her hair or done in lipstick, like, no, you could do that outside or don't do it at all.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they'd taken the time for the poo smell to
see.
I always thought that was it.
Bathroom humor, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned, yet so not stunned.
I have more to talk about with this stuff, but I want to get on with the other stuff. Maybe we'll come back to pee-pee humor later. Transgender pee-pee humor, yay!
I've been around single occupancy bathrooms in my time. It's not that big of a deal.
I always have drug flashbacks in them.
And people have homes?
I don't do drugs anymore, but when you go into a single occupancy, you're sort of like, wow, if I was doing drugs, this would be good.
Well, we're going to talk about Bushisms when we come back, but first I want you guys to think about which one of these is a real Bushism. You know, the famous Bushism, though he tangles up his words.
Okay.
First one, I'm proud to introduce someone who served me well, as in his role as a new deputy, that is, the Secretary of Under Education.
That was Bush.
They're all.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to read you three, and you have to say which one was real. Next one. We're encouraged to see more Iraqis take responsibility for resolving the standoff in Najaf. Or, whenever you tax people, what you're doing, you're directly making their wallets less bigger. Which did Bush really say? We'll tell you after the break. And later, we've got Recovery Corner here on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to a special encore edition of Morning Sedition.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
I'm Howard Dean. Over the last year and a half, I've heard so many stories from working Americans about the strain and struggle of daily life. But none are more heart-wrenching than the stories told by New York's home health aides. Their struggle says a lot about what's wrong in America. Government gives home health care agencies millions of our tax dollars to help the sick, elderly, and disabled. Executives of these agencies pay themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the home health aides who provide the care live in poverty, making just $7 an hour, less than $14,000 a year, most with no health benefits. Please join me in the fight to get New York's home health aides a living wage. Go to their website at 1199SEIU.org and make a contribution to the Solidarity Fund. That's 1199SEIU.org. Or call 866-HHA-HERO. Stand with New York's home health aides, because taking back America is up to all of us.
This message from Howard Dean was paid for by 1199 SEIU.
Hello, this is Danny Glover. I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. At every age, men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you want to be a man and take care of your family, see a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
The old Franken Factor.
I didn't want him to run because I thought last time he elected Bush, but, you know, it's his right to run. And it's our right to say, don't vote for him. And it's your right to vote for Kerry. But no one has the right
to vote for Bush.
Oh, that's wrong.
Okay, that's wrong.
Okay, I'm getting from the booth that evidently you have the right to vote for Bush.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, the Al Franken Factor on Air America Radio.
Hey, we're back on Air America Radio, and we are talking Bushisms. Before the break, we gave you three. Here they are again. I'm proud to introduce someone who served me well, as in his role as the new deputy, that is, the Secretary of Undereducation, or we're encouraged to see more Iraqis take responsibility for resolving the standoff in Najaf, or whenever you tax people what you're doing, you're directly making their wallets less bigger. Which did Bush really say?
The last one.
No, the correct answer is number two. We're encouraged to see more Iraqis take responsibility for resolving the standoff in Najaf.
Really?
Yep. We haven't been involved in Iraq for quite long enough, but let's just hear it.
We're encouraged to see more Iraqis take responsibility for resolving the standoff in Najaf.
See, he does it so much better than I do.
Yeah.
I should really have had him say it first.
He sounded just like, the original.
He just sounded like him, man. He sounded authentic Bush.
It's just that we're encouraged. Encouraged. Which sounds really, really, really discouraging.
With his Republican smirk.
Yeah, but we have an expert now with us, Jacob Weisberg, author of Bushisms, the Deluxe Election Edition. And he's going to deconstruct with us what is so misunderestimated about George Bush. Jacob joins us now on the phone right here in New York City. Good morning.
Hi, Sue. Good morning.
Hey, what are your favorite Bushisms?
Oh, God, where do you start?
Well,
where
quite.
Do you start? I sometimes start with the ones on the subject of education, just because there's something especially funny about that when he says, for example, one of the great things about books is sometimes there's some fantastic pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit alarming, isn't it? Especially when it's the Hungry Caterpillar, his favorite book.
Right, exactly. Or this is one of my favorites. You teach a child to read, and he or her will be able to pass a literacy test.
What are the Bushisms are most telling? You know, what do they really show us about George Bush?
Well, that's an interesting question. I try to have it both ways a little bit. On the one hand, I offer these up for just purely for the amusement value because they're funny. On the other hand, I do think they tell you something about the president's mentality, and I have a introduction in the book where I sort of go into that, and I argue that Bush is stupid, but not in the way he sounds. My case is that he's stupid by choice. It's not that he has a low IQ, that he's been incapable of understanding or learning anything, but he sort of hasn't bothered his whole life, and at this point it's gotten to be a pretty bad habit.
He can't even be bothered, even if he could try, because he's just forgotten how to do it.
I think that's right. Once you get to be a certain age, you know, if you're not interested in things and you don't make yourself try to learn things and understand things, you're not about to change in that fundamental way. So in that sense, I think that Bushisms offer a kind of proxy for understanding why Bush is stupid, but it's not that he can't put a sentence together. Well, he can't put a sentence together, but that's probably a some sort of language processing problem, something like dyslexia, which doesn't mean you're stupid.
Do you think it's part of his appeal to people, like to voters? That, like, I always felt that, you know, when he stutters over himself and he seems like he's having a hard time, that I think he somehow gets pity out of people.
Yeah, I think there is a way in which it bonds him to the public. It makes him seem like a regular guy, like an ordinary person. And in some ways, you know, I think people like to feel superior to the president in one way or the other. And this is the way in which most people are superior to the president.
Our whole network is based on that.
Right. But, you know, but the truth is I don't know that you all sitting around making fun of him, and I do this more than anybody, really does him any harm. It may do him good because people say, gee, those leaders in New York are making fun of the president because he can't talk right. Well, maybe I don't talk right either.
Okay, Jacob Weisberg, you're an expert on this as the author of Bushisms, and let us play you a few sound bites and get your reaction. Here's the first one, which we'd like to call 4,000 Hours.
The law signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Weapons of mass production.
Yeah, you get that quite a lot where he's reaching for a phrase and he comes up with a phrase that is close but no cigar, as they say. There was a pretty good one just the other day, which I'm going to put up on Slate, where he said, "Like you, I've been disgraced by what I've seen on TV." You know, it's actually accurate in a way, but it's not what he meant to say.
Okay, here's another one.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
Applause. He gets applause. What do they think that makes him more human or something? I can't deal with it. I cannot deal with it.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, or the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said 4,000 hours.
But Jacob, there is laughter there. I mean, is it uncomfortable laughter, or do people actually think he's doing comedy?
I think they appreciate the way he plays it off. You know, he starts to get into one of these situations, and at some point he looks up from his text and says, "You know, I'm going to stop digging now."
Yeah.
And you know, and you have to sympathize with that situation. I mean, he's very effective at playing these things off and really turning them from a liability into an asset. At the first year of his presidency, at that White House Correspondents' Dinner, he held up one of these Bushisms books and said, "You know, bet you didn't know I wrote a book. It's like Chairman Mao's little book, except yeah. It's not in Chinese." You know, he read a bunch of these and sort of made fun of himself and says, "You know, I don't even know what I was saying there." It's funny. I mean, he doesn't get pompous and irritated when people make fun of him. Well, maybe he does, but in public, he seems to have a sense of humor about himself.
Did it help sales?
Which is a very good quality to have in politics.
Could you then use that bit to your advantage? Bet you didn't know I wrote a book, and then blurb it on your next book?
Of course.
The never-ending cycle.
Did it help your sales after he said that?
Well, he said there was even in that speech a Bushism, because he said... He said, "I've coined new words like misunderstanding and Hispanically."
Actually, that's a good point.
What he meant to say was, "I've coined new words like misunderestimate," which is probably his most famous coinage. But he said misunderstanding, which is actually a word, even before he said it. So anyway, so that was a kind of self-reflexive Bush. That was a Bushism of Bush talking about Bushism.
Actually, Jacob, you mentioned Hispanic stuff. Do you think there's any chance that we could get a bilingual or a Hispanic, Latino, Spanish version?
There are some of those. You know, he says there are a few bilingual ones. He said he was on with Tim Russert, and he said we're going to do something on December 15th, September, I think it was. Anyway, he had the number 15 wrong in Spanish, but he purports to be bilingual, I guess, you know.
He does have to reach out to Latino voters. That could be his way.
He does try to do that, and I think, you know, the sort of fumbling effort to speak Spanish counts for something, even if you don't get it quite right.
Jacob Weisberg, when all is said and done about the Bush administration, about this president, will people be able to separate a person's human intelligence from their political intelligence? Because George W. Bush may be a dummy, but he's not a stupid politician.
Well, I guess I'd put the argument the other way. I think he's a pretty spectacularly bad president, and I think that is actually reflected on some of these uncomprehending comments. I don't think he's dumb about politics. I think it's the one area where he's sort of shrewd and engaged. But I'm not sure that it's ultimately a successful strategy to be smart about politics and ignorant about policy.
Jacob Weisberg, author of Bushism's The Deluxe Election Edition, thank you so much for joining us.
So, does President Bush benefit from the idea that he's an idiot, or is he crazy like foxes are? Call us and let us know what you think at 866-303-AARO. That's 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile.
swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Imagine if stars fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid, because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Good morning. Welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Does President Bush benefit from the idea that he's an idiot, or is he really an idiot? Does he benefit? That is the big question. Right now it's time for the Presidential Daily Briefing for today, May 18th. This is the highly classified top secret document that the President gets every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled Bush Presidency Scheduled for Governation. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is distancing himself from your re-election campaign in light of your falling poll numbers. This news is particularly distressing because the Republican Party was counting on Schwarzenegger to lock up votes from the huge block of illiterate 18 to 25-year-old video game enthusiasts. His support would have many advantages. Unlike you, Schwarzenegger's epic struggles with the English language are considered charming. Plus, awkward non-answers to tough questions are far more acceptable coming from an unstoppable cyborg from the future. This office suggests replacing Schwarzenegger with a replicant that can reassemble itself out of globs of shiny silver liquid. Failing that, you should beg him for any scrap of approval he decides to throw your way. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. With a pretty practical PDB. All right.
Maybe push him to start driving around in a Hummer like Arnie.
Mm. Oh, that would help him. Yeah. Stephen in Manhattan. Stephen, what's up?
Hi, how are you guys?
Pretty
you're
good.
Doing a great job, number one.
Thanks.
My take on Bush is he was swept up with his dad being in politics, never wanted to be in politics. The Republicans, who are incredibly politically savvy, picked Bush to be a follower, to follow Cheney, to follow Karen Hughes, to follow Karl Rove.
Right.
He was exactly what they told him to do. Which he's going to do, which he's not that bright, and by the time he's talking, he's trying to remember, what did Karen tell me? What did Carl tell me? What did Chain tell me? What am I supposed to be saying?
Yeah.
He can't concentrate. If he was, you know, Clinton talks for 45 minutes, it's all coming from within.
He loves to hear himself talk.
Right. And he likes to hear himself write, too. He's sort of 900-page plus.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Bush is just following along, and, you know, he got his money from the Texas Rangers and
yep.
oil and all this stuff from his dad.
Yeah.
And the guy he's Joe Average, but I think the other guy, the author you just had on was right. He is Joe Average, but people do relate to that. And he's probably a very likable guy.
Thanks for your call.
God, I'm scared.
He's a follower. I just pictured him as this evil puppy. trailing behind, you know, Condi and Karen and Dick. Just like, am I doing? And I just did a Clinton. I'm like, I can't do a Bush. All right, hey, we got Bobby in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Bobby, how are you?
Thank God for Air America.
Yeah.
Hey, we finally have some sanity
in the air.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But as far as Bush being crazy or sly like a fox,
yeah.
No way, Jose.
Uh-huh.
This man was born with a silver spoon in his mouth,
yes,
and he's used to having his way.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that these people that he's playing, you know, to his administration tune, they're playing to him.
Uh-huh.
Because if they did not play to his tune, like the other ones they kicked out of office, their butts would be gone, too.
Huh.
It's all about Bush. And he just likes having his way, and he could give two craps about America.
Thank you so much, Bobby. And thank you for using appropriate radio language.
Yes, we
appreciate
that.
I appreciate that. The number is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. Larry in New Jersey, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Larry.
Oh, yes. First, the evil puppy. That's a great image. I would like to see that developed into a miniseries. two quick questions. There's a difference between intelligence and shrewdness. I think George Bush is shrewd, not necessarily intelligent.
Bingo.
Actually, the whole administration is more shrewd than smart. The other thing is that the conversation that I get into people, I found it's more effective to talk not about good president, bad president, but because he is obviously a good president in that he's getting his agenda implemented. So he's very effective at that. So moving it from good or bad to effective or ineffective lets you talk about whether you believe he's doing the right thing or not. It's not a question. It used to be the are you better off 4 years or are you better off than you were 4 years ago? That's kind of a difficult question because the policies they're implementing are so far-reaching that it's not a matter of whether you're better or not, but is the country going to hell in a handbasket because of these policies.
But you think that I understand what you're saying, and you think that his language and his stupidity is just some sort of way to placate the regular people of this country?
I think he's genuine. He's genuine, but everything that you read about him even before the last election is that he will win at any cost.
Okay, so he's
And it was amazing to me that during the 2000 Florida stuff that they painted Gore as the guy who would win at any cost, when that's been Bush's character throughout every interaction with anybody in his life.
Well, thanks a lot, Larry. I appreciate your call.
He makes a very, very interesting point. I've interviewed a lot of politicians in my life.
Yeah.
And I've run across a lot of politicians who are at least as dumb as George W. Bush. But you know what?
They get what they want.
Not only do they get what they want is to stay in office.
Right. We'll be back with Recovery Corner and a strange little piece on David Duke. Remember him, the KKK
That's
presidential
schmuck.
Candidate? Yeah. We'll be back on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress, but you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Good morning. It is Tuesday morning. This is Morning's Edition. I am Mark Maron. Sitting to my right, Mark Riley.
Hey.
And further right, I mean just sitting, Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
To my left.
Further right.
Chris, our board
on my extreme right.
Uh-oh.
Is Sue Ellicott, now very happy with a coffee.
Oh, good. We all got our coffee.
I have my coffee. I'll be inching left.
Yeah. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hello,
and
Mark.
In Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober, and as always, I'm offering my help to my temporary sponsor, George W. Now, yesterday, John Kerry, the man you blame for everything, and you guys stop doing that, by the way, said he was scarcely talking about Iraq on the campaign trail so he could give you some room. I wish the president would lead, he said. Wow. Wake up call, George W. Now, how isolated have you become that even your opponents want you to snap out of it? Let's face it, even the people that don't like you need you. How sad is that? And you might as well be needed if you can't be liked. And at this point, you can't be liked, all right? Sorry, I'm hurting you only to help you. So get back in the game, George W. I mean, it's clear to everyone that you're going to bottom out in November. That's clear. And it's hard when you know someone's going to hit a bottom, but there's no choice. So I guess what I'm telling you is try to live in the now. Before you say, I can't say, I'll try. We need all you can give. We know they're baby steps, but at this point, we'll take what we can get. Some things are true even when, you know, someone like, you know, your liberal opponent, John Kerry, says them. Remember, bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. You received without cost. Now give without charge. There is no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. If we don't grow, we got to go. It's alcoholism, not alcoholism. Works if you work it. Stay in today. Don't drink. That's a recovery corner for today.
You know what's going to happen at some point? There's going to be so many bits of advice. The recovery thing will just take up the whole show.
Oh, yeah?
As you keep on coming up with new little things to tell him.
Oh, you mean the slogans?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in recovery, there's no shortage of slogans. I just threw it out.
You just tossed it.
And, you know, oddly enough, they can be helpful. And you'll find yourself at some point, you know, they'll stick in your craw, and one of those will help you out. That's what they're designed for. They're little sound bites of helpiness.
I like the bend your knee before you bend your elbow.
I like the work when you work it, because it reminds me of an old disco song.
Again, well, I think it's a different intent here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. They're, a lot of them are very catchy and very helpful. Here's an interesting story about David Duke.
That schmuck.
Yeah, the KKK dude, the white supremacist, who I believe was ran for governor of Louisiana.
Didn't he also have plastic surgery and change his look?
Well, yeah, he tried to run for president, I think, is why he did all that. Well, apparently he was, you know, accused and convicted of fraud, and he was spending time in a halfway house. And he left his halfway house this weekend where he was finishing out his sentence for fraud. Evidently, he wasn't very happy there, and we got hold of the halfway house's suggestion box that Duke was reportedly stuffing with ideas and complaints. The suggestions were anonymous, but let's try to guess which ones David Duke may have submitted. These are all sorts of paper reading. Isn't it way past time to take down the Kwanzaa decorations?
Oh, yeah, that's him.
Who left the really curly hairs on the soap?
That was Clarence Thomas.
Whoever borrowed my Outkast CD, please return it.
That wasn't David.
No,
why do I have to be subjected to this bilingual menu from Gordo's Mexican Food? Laundry room should have separate areas for washing and folding. David Duke. Laundry room should have separate areas for... No. Why does Sid always get to hold the remote? The Jews control the media. Who cut eye holes in the sheets? I guess we know who wrote those.
Yeah, right? This is Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Mark Maron. We're on tape today for Memorial Day, but we'll be back live tomorrow morning.
Although there are so many other stations you could choose, we're the only ones who sing the news. Did you know that Dr. Condoleezza Rice spoke up under oath, tried to cover up the lies told by Bush and Cheney both? Did you know the homeland's still unsafe and Iraq remains war-torn? So the Ashcroft strategy is to crack down on the poor. Did you know that this last week in Iraq was the bloodiest so far? When it comes to quagmires, W has raised the bar. Did you know the polls show the prez at 43%? And that should keep on going down.
Air America Radio merchandise on sale now at airamericaradio.com. airamericaradio.com. All your clothes suck, so buy ours. The Air America Radio Thong. Classic, elegant, and just one of dozens of new items on sale now at airamericaradio.com. Wear your descent, or just drink coffee from it. Air America Radio merchandise on sale now.
It's a scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The search is on for three militants in Saudi Arabia with ties to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. They were involved in a weekend attack in the oil-rich city of Khobar. Saudi authorities searched a hotel room believed to have been used by the militants. 22 people were killed in the 24-hour crisis. Most of the victims were foreigners, including one American. The attack was in response to the nation's dealing with the United States over oil. The weekend attack was expected to have an impact on the world oil markets. Speculation discussion abounds over the political future of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, this as he battles for cabinet approval for his plan for withdrawal from Gaza. Prime Minister wants to pull out soldiers and settlers from all the Gaza Strip and evacuate the four West Bank settlements. His Likud party recently rejected the plan in a May referendum. Sharon's latest ploy to win acceptance was his threat to fire cabinet opponents and bring moderates during a tense meeting yesterday, which yielded no vote. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has given conditional support to the Gaza pullout plan. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter has held meetings with Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez in Caracas. Carter says Chavez is willing to face a referendum on his leadership if his opponents get enough petition signatures to force such a vote. Venezuela and the U.S. have been at a virtual impasse in efforts to restore normal diplomatic relations. This after it appeared the Bush administration earlier tried to engineer a coup in the country. Chavez's term has been marked by massive public spending for the poor and a general strike in addition to the failed coup. The strike crippled the economy of the world's number five oil exporter. The next scheduled election is set for 2006. It looks like political wrangling might have stalled the scheduled announcement today of a new president for the interim government in Iraq. The Iraqi Governing Council has delayed a meeting to pick a new president by one day. That decision means the United Nations and the coalition will miss a self-imposed end-of-the-month deadline to announce a new government. No reason was given for the delay, but it seems the action suggests differences between the council and the U.S.-run coalition over who should get the job. A U.N. spokesman says the process of picking a new leader is still in play. The United States military is announcing three soldier deaths in Iraq in separate engagements. Two lost their lives in a clash with forces loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in the holy city of Kufa. Another died and two were injured by a roadside bomb south of the capital Baghdad. Pentagon says China's rethinking its military strategy regarding Taiwan because of how the U.S. waged war in Iraq. Pentagon analysis notes China taking into account the speed with which U.S. ground forces captured Baghdad and the prominent role played by U.S. commandos. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hello, this is Danny Glover. I'm giving a wake-up call to every man in America. At every age, men have poorer health and a higher risk of mortality than women. We take more risks, handle stress differently, and are less likely to schedule checkups or to follow up when symptoms arise. If you want to be a man and take care of your family, see a doctor and find out what might go wrong before it does.
For more information, contact the W.K. Kellogg Foundation at WKKF.org.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Imagine if stars fell from the sky.
Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. We've got all kinds of stuff planned. We got the liberal agenda coming up. We got President's Palm Pilot. We got Tony Hendra, who used to write for the original National Lampoon, one of the great satirists of his era, that being the 70s and beyond. He's written a new book.
Yeah.
And we've got nothing but fear and panic across the land because of this terrorist threat. You know, they won't even raise the color. You know, they're hesitant to raise the
color.
Don't
call it the color. Call it the threat level.
The threat level. The threat level. They won't even raise the threat level to orange because it's nonspecific. But they say, you know, be afraid. Be very afraid and remember who your daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your daddy is George Bush. I'm using George Lakoff terms, not Professor Lakoff was in the studio. But, you know, this thing, this terrorist threat is, as one of our callers pointed out to me, because initially I thought, well, look, you know, they're presenting us with a wanted poster. They got pictures of everybody. I think they actually had the one woman who's involved. I don't know her name. They had a headshot of her. They had, like, her serious headshot, and then, you know, when she was portraying, you know, they had, you know, they've got their high school diplomas. They've got their resumes. One of the guys was a convert from Southern California. His name's Adam Perlman. Now it's, you know, Adam, you know, something more complicated. And, you know, they basically... Here's the breakdown.
The list.
Yeah, I still can't pronounce that. But, you know, they seem to have all the information on these guys. So the big question is, if they are so good on terror, what why don't they just pick these guys up? And that was my question initially to a caller said, hey, dude, you know, wake up. This is a smokescreen. As soon as this happened, you know, the president tried to sell his Iraq policy on Monday. It was a bust. He had no new information other than this, you know, idea of tearing down a prison. And no one really paid attention. And he didn't sell it. And so 2 days later, now we got a terrorist threat. And he's setting it up for a big win. He's setting it up. He's like, he's putting these guys up. You can see their faces. But because they know where they are, they're just going to wait it out and catch one or two of them. And say, look what we did. See, we told you 3 days ago, and now we found him. This kid worked in the video store. Yeah, I don't know really how it's going to play out. But the truth of the matter is, let's listen to John Ashcroft, because I think we want to contradict him.
For 32 months now, we have not had a major terrorist attack on American soil. We are winning the war on terror, but we should never forget that it is a war.
Look, you know, I've got just some evidence here that proves that we are not winning the war on terror. And George Bush, in his speech on Monday, actually said Iraq is now the central front in the war on terror. But it wasn't before we went there. There was no connection whatsoever except with Zarqawi, right?
Yes.
Who, you know, what's his first name? The guy who supposedly cut off Nick Berg's head.
Musab.
Musab Zarqawi, who was in the no-fly zone of Iraq and was left there by the Bush administration in order to justify their invasion of Iraq. They didn't kill the guy. They had three shots at him.
Right.
And since, in the 4 years prior to September 11th, there were eight attacks, 349 fatalities in seven different nations. Since 9/11, and 3 years after, 14 attacks, that's more, 599 fatalities, that's more, 10 nations, that's more, and that's not including the war. We are not winning the war on terror.
No, but the more that's, you know, all they can say is, we are winning, we are, and people go, oh yeah, of course, yeah, we must be, because they sound just so convincing. It's amazing that they can come and say, he could say that today, John Ashcroft, although we could be quoting him today, after that think tank. The IISS said that, you know, since 9/11, that now there were an estimated 18,000 potential terrorists.
18,000?
Al-Qaeda-related terrorists in more than 60 countries around the world. That is not winning a war when you have increased the number of, you know, kind of furious, kind of, you know, fundamentalist, you know, terrorist-leaning peoples.
But there goes that language thing again, see? Because what Ashcroft was talking about, so it's easy, it's interesting to see the way he blends stuff. Because, see, now that Professor Lakoff has been here, I'm starting to think like this. He wasn't talking about any terror attacks outside the U.S. What he was saying is we're winning the war on terror only because it hasn't come here again.
That's what scares me about the other language with this thing is, like, they're planning something big. He said they're planning something big. You know what I mean? Yeah. In other countries around the world, there have been big terrorist attacks, but certainly nothing ever as devastating as the attack on the World Trade Center here in New York City, which killed almost 3,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in America, like, the idea when they say big, you know, our only barometer for in-house terrorist attacks is 9/11. So it really instills a great deal of fear. You know, Israel deals with this stuff almost on a week to week basis, you know, in a more intimate form, and that terror attacks around the world, some of them are awful, they're all awful, but the numbers are nowhere near what we had to go through, you know, with the Twin Towers.
Are you saying that he's saying prepare yourself to lose 3,000 more?
I'm saying that, you know, what he is saying in terms of, you know, just American terrorism, like everything in America, has got to be spectacular.
Yeah. Really,
you know,
really big.
And that instills fear in even me. And I am a questioning, hypercritical, paranoid to the point of, you know, unhealthiness person. You know, so I am, I'm full of fear, but I'm also assessing some of the input from our callers in terms of, like, well, maybe this is a real sham. I'm not saying that the threat doesn't exist, but the timing is suspect.
But here's some more facts that we're not going to get out of John Ashcroft or Tom Ridge, that the U.S. occupation of Iraq, apparently, according to the strategic survey that was done by the International Institute of Strategic Studies this week, that's the London-based think tank, more than 1,000 foreign Islamic fighters have been drawn into, you know, enticed into Iraq who weren't there before the U.S. occupation.
He's created jobs.
Absolutely.
As you said yesterday, Bush is creating jobs for terrorists.
But you know what? We have an opportunity. See, because with each one of these things comes an opportunity. We've had Bush on Monday, then we had Ashcroft, Ridge, and Mueller yesterday. Now we get Kerry today. So people can see a very clear contrast with the way the Bush administration is looking at all this and the way John Kerry is looking at all this.
And he's stepping up a little bit.
Yeah, he's ramping things up.
Kerry is definitely saying, look, you know, I can do a better job.
Yeah, at fighting terror and keeping the homeland safe than George W. Bush.
Than this guy who politicizes terror.
That is the key thing. It's the doing the better job, because they aren't talking about such very different things. As Bush has had to kind of backpedal and kind of modify his go-it-alone stance and say, you know, we need actually more help from other countries. They've appealed to the United Nations. You know, John Kerry is saying we need the United Nations. We maybe even need some NATO troops. And, you know, Democrats are actually kind of pressuring him more to say we want troop withdrawal. Kerry is kind of standing firm, not very different from Bush's position, but where he is different, and this is very important, is that he's believable. He's backpedaling from something. And
people feel
that he's more credible, and you can trust him on what he says.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't really backpedaled. Bush is changing his position. And see, there's something very interesting going on as well as far as Iraq is concerned. Because as Mark Maron correctly predicted yesterday, the guy that they wanted to be the new prime minister of Iraq,
I don't think it's such a good idea.
He decided, listen, I can better serve in another capacity.
I've had some time to think about this, and when they were fitting me for my flak jacket yesterday, I realized, you know, maybe I could serve better in the private sector.
You think Paul Bremer is saying, next?
Paul Bremer is saying, please, dude, please, help us out here. You know what I mean? You can do this. We've got a bulletproof car for you. We've got, you know, we'll have guys around you. We've got Negroponte coming in.
And he knows how to deal with this.
He'll have death squads at your disposal whenever you feel threatened in any way.
But you know who's responding to this? And we need to pay very close attention to this as it evolves. The Chinese.
That gave me the willies, that story. Because, like, you know, that story, you got it in front of you there?
Yep.
It is like, sort of like, didn't it have a weird kind of World War III vibe to it?
Yeah, because they want to know. They want to know what the American plan is as far as this, as replacing this guy. And they want a definite timetable for a troop withdrawal.
They're saying, you guys can't have your hand on the spigot. You know what I mean? You can't control the whole, you know, 10 yards. And the international community, whether they're going to participate in the reconstruction of Iraq or not, are saying, you know, you can't. control that country if you are going to turn that country over. And when China steps into anything, you got to go, whoa, okay.
Whoa.
they got all the people.
Well, plus they're an important part of the United Nations.
Yes, they got veto power.
They got veto power, and you can't do anything unless they sign on to it.
Mm. Well, we will be back with the liberal agenda, the Palm Pilot, and all kinds of other stuff here on Air America Radio and Sidney Blumenthal, too. Come on back. Hey, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to a special encore edition of Morning Sedition.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid. Because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple? Grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad. The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome. If you're just tuning in, I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I am here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey. Morning.
Doing the business.
Mm-hmm.
It is now time for my buddy in the Oval Office who, vacuums, also sneaks in and hacks the president's Palm Pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule, May 27th, 8 a.m. Wake up. Try again to vote for Fantasia on American Idol. Damn busy signal. 8:10 a.m. Secret Service informs you that voting is over. 8:11 a.m. Sulk. 9:30 a.m. Meet with President of El Salvador. Ask if he knows Ramon, the guy with the stuff from back in the day. 1:55 p.m. Participate in conversation on healthcare information technology. Nashville, Tennessee. Unveil state-of-the-art healthcare denial system. 3 p.m. TP trees outside Dixie Chick's house. He knows how to have a good time. 4:30 p.m. Meet in Nashville Public Park with Ramon, who has the stuff from back in the day. 4:32 p.m. Order bombing of Syria. 4:34 p.m. Order bombing of Iran. 4:36 p.m. Order bombing of Cuba. 4:38 p.m. Order bombing of San Francisco. 4:40 p.m. Cancel all bombings. Note, don't visit Ramon anymore. 5:35 p.m. Attend Victory 2004 Reception Private Residence, Nashville. Watch Hee Haw Marathon with George Jones and Merle Haggard. Laugh and laugh and laugh. Thanks, Ramon. 8 p.m. Try to wind down. Can't. Call Toby Keith and go out for some line dancing. 4 a.m. Get home. Have Ramon arrested. That's the presidential palm pilot for today. Time now for our Salons.com story of the day. The big story today, an espionage investigation into the neocons' relationship with Ahmed Chalabi. Salon.com's Washington Bureau Chief and former aide to President Clinton. Our old buddy Sidney Blumenthal is our guest today. Sidney, how are you?
I'm just fine.
What exactly did you find out about this investigation, about this weaselly guy?
Well, Ahmed Chalabi, it is believed by our intelligence agencies, is a double agent. He was the neocon darling who they wanted to put into office as the head of Iraq. He provided all the disinformation about the weapons of mass destruction that turned out not to be there. He was the one who fed Judy Miller of the New York Times all of her false stories that she published before the war. And now it turns out, according to our team, that he's an Iranian agent, that he had been in the feeding information from the U.S. government military to Iran. So this was either the greatest con since the Trojan horse.
Wow.
Or it was the greatest op ever committed by Iran against the United States, or both. So what's going on? The FBI is now investigating to see who gave the information to Chalabi, and they are now going to the offices of the various neoconservatives around Washington, and it is an espionage investigation.
Wow. How much of the information was classified?
No one knows whether whether these were top secret. This was top secret information.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows yet if the people who spoke to Chalabi were witting or unwitting, whether they gave it willingly, whether they knew that he was an Iranian agent, as he is now charged. So there's a lot to find out, but this is yet another serious investigation.
Sidney Blumenthal, following your piece today on Salon.com about how Ahmed Chalabi looks as though he's a double agent for the Iranians, who, if anybody, do you think will be held accountable for having given him the huge amount of money he got from the United States?
Well, we have to look at the friends of Ahmed Chalabi. I remember years ago there was a book called The Friends of Eddie Coyle by a great writer named George V. Higgins, all about a small-time mobster in Boston. And now we got to look at the friends of Ahmed Chalabi. Who were his friends? Well, Richard Pearl, the neoconservative panjandrum, Paul Wolfowitz, good friend, Deputy Secretary of Defense, and all of those other people in defense, like Doug, everyone, I would say, who's on the list of people who ought to resign that Al Gore gave out yesterday.
Duplicitous, slimy guys, all of them.
And a lot of them are in these conservative think tanks in Washington. Here they all are. They promoted this guy. They put him out. And there are people in the mainstream media who have been his friends and promoted him. And so the question is, for those who have been in government, what did they tell him and when?
Sidney Blumenthal, the New York Times had a kind of interesting mea culpa in the paper yesterday about its reporting during the run-up to the war. Are you saying that that is directly tied to information that they got from Chalabi?
There's no question about it. The reporter who did most of those stories, Judy Miller, has said publicly that her source was Ahmed Chalabi. Those stories were systematically false, many of them fabricated by Chalabi, and they were part of an orchestrated campaign not only by Chalabi but by the administration to create the rush to war. And the New York Times, witting or unwitting, was a party to this atmosphere and creating the rationale for the war and creating the reasons that Secretary of State Colin Powell gave in his famous UN speech for the war, which turned out to be completely false, and Powell has now said that he was deliberately deceived.
But, Sydney, very quickly, if Judy Miller can say she's sorry she didn't know, how come the neoconservatives can't pull the same thing?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, President Bush can't admit a mistake when asked, and the neoconservatives can't say they got everything wrong. But now it's not a question of public apologies. Really, they have to tell it to the FBI agents who are interviewing them.
Sydney Blumenthal, thank you for joining us. Always good to talk to you. Sydney Blumenthal with his Salon.com story of the day. If you'd like to go there and check that out and get the full story on Shalabi.
Hey, can we get you think we can send a delegation of American taxpayers to Iraq and ask for our money back from this guy?
Yeah, that would be $3 million altogether.
Yeah, something like that. I got a case of the shorts. I could use a couple extra.
Yeah, he mentioned the Gore speech, so why don't we hit it again? It's fun. It's invigorating.
We simply cannot afford to further increase the risk to our country with more blunders by this team. Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign immediately as the chief architect of this plan. Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, the intelligence chief Stephen Cambone, all ought to resign immediately. Our nation is at risk every single day Rumsfeld remains as Secretary of Defense.
I kind of wish that someone was driving through one of those trucks with those great big loudspeakers on the side that they do in campaigns, just blaring that speech out of the side. You know what they do in, like, the small towns when people are campaigning?
Yeah.
Someone should be driving around D.C.
Oh, they do that in big towns, too,
well,
believe me.
They should be doing it with that speech. It should be kind of blaring around the streets of the Capitol, and maybe they should then, you know, record it and do it in other places.
Yeah. Don't start with me, man.
That was an electronically pre-recorded Mark Riley.
I'll never do
I'll
it again.
I'll compete with myself.
And he's not happy with it. Well, you could say no, and then you could contradict yourself with a yeah.
Yeah, I definitely could.
I'm never going to do
How
it
How about
again.
Yeah, 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 fast?
No, oh, my goodness.
He's going to do it on his own. He's going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Okay, I understand.
I'm getting old.
You know what? I wish I could say he was blushing, but I can't tell.
No, you're not going to be able to tell. I'm not blushing. That was me. I said it.
That's me.
Oh, was that confronting that bully student on the streets of London?
That was me greeting Mark in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a new machine, and we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
It's not a new machine to radio as a medium, obviously, but it's a new machine to me.
Yeah, and he's looking very happy. And I don't hear that stretching sound of maturing that we heard earlier, by the way. I hear a kind of shrinking sound.
Come on, hit a couple of more.
Okay.
You. Oh, no, don't do that. That is so mean. That is beyond mean. I might have to sue for that one.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, that's the last time I'll use that one.
I think I need that one. I had a little word with some electronic person to delete that. Thank you, guys.
Oh,
thank you
mercy.
So much.
Shall we just go home now? Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
No, we got Tony Andrew.
That's right.
I was elevating the tone with that comment, by the way.
Thank you very much.
This is Mark Maron, and this is a Memorial Day Encore edition of Morning Sedition. Hey, I rhymed. We'll be back live tomorrow.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. This is Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott, and Tim Robbins, who has a lot of adjectives in front of his name these days. Oscar winner is the one his publicist likes. There's also director, writer of his new play, Embedded, actor in the upcoming movie, Code 46, and lately, semi-professional radio show guest on Air America Radio.
Hey, Mark.
He joined us today in the studio because it was our turn, apparently. He got up nice and early, huh? Were you like, really, what time is that
not,
one?
I'm not up yet.
Oh, he's not up yet. What's it?
I didn't want to be pedantic or anything, but you know what? They're nouns. They're not adjectives. They're nouns.
Oh. In front of his name, he's Oscar Winner. That's true.
He's a director, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Oscar. Sleepy. That's the idea. He is sleepy.
Wait, let me rephrase it. Oscar winning. Directing man. Directing.
You're just talking about hyphenates. You're not talking about.
How about
Sleepy.
Sleepy.
Exactly.
Sleepy.
Sleepy.
Back in middle school for you.
I already said that.
Coffee drinking or water drinking. You know, that's another gerund.
She hasn't called me stupid all day.
Don't worry, there's no time.
Essential adjective.
So, Tim, you're up at the show late? Your show Embedded is running at Joe's?
No, it's Public Theater.
Public Theater?
Yeah. We were up pretty late last night after the show.
Yeah, how'd it go? Was it packed and people responded well to it?
It's great. It's been really enthusiastic crowds and great response and consistently fun to do. And
what's the show about? How does it unfold?
The show is set in a fictional land called Gomorrah, but it's closely mirrors what was happening last year in the war in Iraq. And we try to find the satirical humor in it, and it's also about three soldiers, and we follow their stories, including one that's parallel to Jessica Lynch.
Oh, so but it's mostly funny, though, yeah?
Well, yes, it's
poignant.
I think the comedy comes from whenever we visit Washington in the Office of Special Plans, we have six people that are kind of running things, and they're the buffoons in the piece.
it's kind of a tragedy if you're mirroring this Washington.
Yeah, it's got some moments of one thing I wanted to do from the start is when we were telling the stories of the soldiers there to treat those with respect and mm-hmm. Try to understand what it must be like to be over there and to be. And in Jessica Lynch's case, to have one version of the truth and then have an entirely different story created around her experience.
How do you think what is your thoughts on that? That she was just mythologized?
Immediately. Immediately by people that wanted to create a story. And in fact, 2 days after it happened, I read in The Guardian, they sent reporters to that hospital.
Right.
And I read this other version.
which was that the doctor actually took very good care of her and got to know her pretty well.
They needed a heroic narrative.
They needed something, but what was odd about it was when you read the real story, it's a much better story about why we're there, why we're there to help.
Yeah.
You have a doctor that is helping her because he wants to see the United States succeed. It's a much better story than the one.
And a human story that's real. And there was another woman there, too. I read that there was another woman that went through roughly the same thing she did, but was not depicted at all because she wasn't.
Wasn't pretty enough?
Well, she might have been African American. I can't remember what the issue was, but it was different.
I thought it was really admirable, by the way, how her parents handled themselves. I mean, they did not do the Larry King, every appearance on television thing. They were very protective of their daughter. They knew something was wrong with the way it was described.
And then they said, how much money are we?
Yeah. They weren't just holding out for the Diane Sawyer interview. Right.
No. They did do, a book, and I think the reason why she did the book was to say, wait a second, I'm not that person. I'm not a hero. I'm a victim of a tragedy, And that's it. And don't try to make me into this.
It was amazing at the time when you mentioned that Guardian story that I read that because I was living in London then, and I emailed it to friends at various networks, television networks here and newspapers. And they were like, nah, that's not what we're hearing.
No, we like our version better.
They just weren't interested. Like I was some nutcase trying to, you Europeans would say that we're trying to create a hero and one wasn't there.
Well, they spin everything immediately, don't they? They, like, if you can't even criticize this administration without them saying you're crazy, you're a conspiratorial thinker, you're with the terrorists, it happens immediately.
Yeah, no, it happens immediately and it happens in a big way.
Like it happened to you when you were at the Baseball Hall of Fame thing. And that
it happened when we started speaking out against the war. The second we stepped out, it was like.
But has it ever been like that in your studies of history that were, maybe not since McCarthyism, that like you can't say anything critical of a government without being in collusion with the terrorists?
I think we're finding more and more that this administration is incredibly paranoid and incredibly distrustful of any kind of debate. And that has been the case since the beginning of this administration. I remember protesting against Reagan and the first Bush, and I remember a couple times them saying, when protests were happening, well, I disagree, but they have the right to say it.
Right.
That kind of approach. Whereas this administration takes the approach as they did with the Dixie Chicks when Bush was interviewed by Brokaw. He said, listen, the Dixie Chicks shouldn't get their feelings hurt if people don't buy their albums.
Right.
Which is essentially, advocating a boycott.
And they feed a type of fury that happens in America, if people are fueled by fear and ignorance, they almost put it on the mobs. The onus is on them. We're not saying you shouldn't do that, but if you want to hate these people and make life hard for them, go ahead. You work with them or you're with them somehow.
Right, right.
He has a point, though, Bush, though. I mean, he really shouldn't have his feelings hurt if we don't vote for him.
Yeah, I agree.
So the power of satire is sometimes more efficient in conveying the truth than the media.
Well,
No.
Well, the important thing when you're dealing with stuff like this, as you guys know, is you got to find the humor, or you're going to be in a pit of hell.
Were there moments during the production where you're like, wow, that joke ain't working?
No, there were moments in the workshop when we were workshopping it.
Right, that's what I mean.
And we said, that's not going to work. We gotta find something funnier there.
Were you surprised sometimes when you're workshopping it in front of audiences? You could tell, because I do comedy, and you can tell when something goes too far, and you want it to go too far, but were there moments where you're like, wow, we just pushed that way out?
No, there's a couple moments where even still when people gasp in the audience.
Well, that's good, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And you're acting in it now?
Yeah. I'm playing a couple parts, and it's so much fun. I play Carl Rove, actually.
Can you give us
a little Carl Rove?
Well, it's actually a combination of Carl Rove and
a pit bull.
And Rush Limbaugh.
Nice. We want to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come down to the
So you're going to hang out, right?
Yeah, I'll do
it. We're going to hang out with Tim Robbins some more, so come back and continue with us in this conversation. The number here is 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0.
You still have to look at that?
Yeah, if you want to talk to us or talk to Tim about satire, the media, or just about his life here on Air America Radio.
Imagine if flowers fell from the sky. Imagine if there were no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
Honey, you've been at that desk for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Take a break. Let's go out and look for the baby furniture.
Not right now, Jackie. I'm still trying to figure out how we'll do without your paycheck.
Oh, I'm only taking a 3-month leave.
But then there'll be daycare.
We probably ought to have more insurance, too. And start saving for college.
Right now, I wish when I was in college, I'd majored in financial planning instead of engineering.
We could go to someone with financial planning expertise.
Yeah, but how would we know we're getting someone who'd look at all our needs, not just try to sell us an investment plan?
If you find you need the help of a financial planner but are not sure how to find one who is competent, ethical, and will develop a plan based on your needs, you can get help from Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, a nonprofit certifying agency. For a free brochure, 10 questions to ask when choosing a financial planner, call toll-free 1-888-CFP-MARK. CFP is in Certified Financial Planner and MARK. Or visit CFP.net.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple? Grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad. The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Good morning. There's a not-so-liberal dose of Aerosmith. I could use a little more. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Our guest in the studio, Tim Robbins, is here. We're taking your calls for Tim, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We got Pete in Chicago. Pete, what's going on?
Hi, Tim. Just wanted to call in and apologize. I didn't agree with you speaking your mind before the war. I thought it was inconceivable that our government would lie about the weapons of mass destruction. You and your wife and others are heroes for standing up. You know, I just wanted to say how sorry.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
He's looking relieved, Pete.
No, that's pretty nice.
That's
a sincere moment of humility that, you know, you guys had the guts as the select few people that actually stood up to this administration and were actually right.
I fought with my sister on that, about Tony Blair, and she said, well, you know, I think he must be right, because otherwise, you know, why would he be saying it? Like, duh! I can't believe this is my sister.
But you know what?
From the same parents.
There's a price to be paid for doing this sort of thing. And I think a lot of people really don't understand. It's not just about whether somebody's going to invite you to Cooperstown or whatever. There's a price to be paid for being very public and being very active. Talk a little bit about that.
You get invited to fewer parties.
Hey, but you came to ours.
Did you feel that weird, like, you know, when I started doing comedy about, you know, what happened after 9/11 and the reaction, like, when you talk, it, like, there's this weird sort of, did you feel that weird surge of, like, you know, you were really, you know, in the present and saying something that's going to have an impact?
Yeah, I did, and I also knew from past experience, the second this happens, I knew it was coming. I knew the onslaught of
crap, contempt and spin.
It was, you know, and it, so it becomes a choice, you know. You say, it really is a matter of, I can't shut up. I can't not say something.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I've got a forum. There's so much lying going on. Someone's got to say something. And you know what? If it was up to me, I would rather, you know, just talk about my hair and shoes.
But you're looking good.
Thank you.
The sunglasses are nice, too. Wendy in Connecticut. Wendy, you got something you want to say to Tim?
Well, I was just going to say, excuse me, Wendy, a second, but the problem is there was no opposition party last year. There was no, their Democrats were not asking a question.
And
so why is it that actors have to do that?
And didn't you find that some people you thought you knew, like right when the fear set in and you know, 9/11 happened, that you found you didn't know really what they thought and how freaked out? I found that so many of my friends were completely reactionary racist, completely frightened, and were saying things. I was like, who the hell are you? I don't even know you.
Yeah, I did find that.
It's wild. Wendy, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say first condolences about your cat.
Thank you.
And I saw Embedded this weekend, this past weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was funny and chilling. And answered a lot of, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff that's just like left there by the mainstream media, and it's not answered.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, this is not right. You're lying here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stuff that needs to be said, and has, we need to talk back, and, you know, can't just leave this stuff.
Well, thanks for calling, Wendy.
That's what's been so exciting about doing the play, is you can tell there's a real palpable energy in the audience of people that are, you know, either saying finally or thank you for going here and doing this, and thanks for talking this material. And we do talk back sometimes where we get incredible conversations going with the audience about...
After the show?
Yeah, about what's going on right now.
People, like, even with what we're doing here, it's amazing, like, you know, people would come up to you, and they're elated. You know, they're like, thank God, I can't, you know, I'm not alone anymore in feeling like this. You know, finally this stuff is getting out to people. They literally get electric.
Well, now we understand what the whole phenomenon of talk radio on the conservative side is.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, it's reaffirmation of some people's frustrations.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's been so much of that reaffirming this ostensibly lies and prejudices and shallow thinking.
And on purpose, it's a construct. There is no left-wing media, really. The right wing have taken over the cultural language. I'm sorry, Sue.
Sorry, Tim Robbins, we're talking to you about being outspoken, criticizing the Bush administration.
Did you just have your hand up?
we have to do that.
Yes, do a little school thing.
That was so polite and cute.
We'll step on each other.
Please, miss, may I ask Tim a question? I get a point for that. But what do you think about Kerry, and actually what do you think about Nader, and how much of a problem is Nader like to be this year?
Well, personally, I'm becoming disappointed already. The fact that Kerry seems to be drifting to the middle ground, and I really think the way to win this election is to find a way to motivate all those people that don't vote and the progressive side of the party. I think that it's a tactical error to alienate your activist base. And I fear that the Democrats are about to do it again, just like they did with Gore. The Republicans have been very smart for years and years playing to their activist base.
Right.
They don't give them everything, but they tell them that they know that they're there and that they're a valid part of their party, and they make them feel involved and wanted.
Connected to something bigger than themselves.
Right. And if you're an ex-Nader supporter or a current Nader supporter, they're not giving you any reason to vote for them.
Right. That's you.
Well, that's me. I have a feeling I'm so scared of another 4 years of Bush, but I think maybe it's a good thing that Nader's still in, because he might force Kerry to address the fact that there's millions of people out there on the left that want more than the middle.
All right, we'll be back with more of that thought, more of Tim Robbins after this on Air America Radio.
This is Chuck D. Back in the day, all we needed to kick it was a microphone and have something to say. Now it seems that too many rappers feel like they need enough platinum jewelry to wear to make that damn robot in Star Wars blush. But did you know excessive neck wear can lead to stroke, heart disease, or even erectile dysfunction? Plus, studies have shown that driving a Hummer can lower the average IQ by up to 30 points. And white boys, 40 points. So stay off the bling. Only your talent should shine. This is Chuck D. I'm out. Peace.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. We were sitting here having a nice chat with Tim Robbins, who you should all know. So, Tim, what is the, in your eyes, what is the responsibility of the artists in these politically trying times, sir?
Oh, that's a heavy question.
I know it.
It's up to the artist, really.
Yeah.
I think it's just as important to do something completely silly and make people laugh, and or to do a romance or to a love song, you know, that can lift your spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all important
as long as it's done with a certain amount of heart and humanity.
Yeah,
in the film Rock the Cradle,
Cradle of Rock.
Yeah, the whole the muralist. What was his name? Was not
Diego Rivera.
That whole struggle, I mean, it must speak to something that you're sort of, you know, concerned with in terms of, you know, creating a cultural dialogue around political injustice with art.
Well, I think it's one thing that I want to do. I also started a band, so yeah. I like to play loud music.
What do you play?
Play guitar really badly.
How many people in the band?
Five.
Yeah, I love to play guitar.
There's nothing better.
It's relieving.
You know, if they could figure out a way, we could do movies where, you know, after a take, there'd be like 20 women out there going, woo! That'd be great.
It's just a rock star fantasy thing, then. Not actually the playing. It's the reaction.
I'm the best guitar player in my bedroom. The best, man. I just sit there and
I love
jam.
Drumming.
Huh?
Drumming is my thing.
You drum?
Yeah. I started drumming when I was 8 years old.
We're going to have to play, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start a band.
I can start a morning session band. Okay.
Well, it's now I'm just going to be sort of how was it? What was it like when you won the Oscar? How'd that feel?
That felt great.
I bet it felt great.
Much
were
better.
You just sitting there like, oh, it better be me?
No, I just everyone was. Here's the thing: everyone was saying it was going to happen. So you know that's the worst because then.
So you really already knew?
Well, no, it was. You know, it means that the fall's a lot bigger if you don't get it. You know what I mean? Everyone's saying for months they're saying, oh no, you're winning, and like.
That's where I think the other guys ought to get, you know, Oscars or awards for pretending like you're not incredibly upset when you lose on that show. Oh, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound with our liberal marching orders for today. Get your pencils out. Tim is going to read them.
That would be number one. Pressure school board. Whining should be taught as a second language.
Yeah.
Refuse to subscribe to this season's children's theater unless they do a production of Urinetown.
Or embedded.
Three, sign a petition to allow patients to use medical marijuana. Then sign anti-smoking petition.
Yes.
Four, take God out of all public forums unless he's being desecrated in fetishistic art.
Absolutely.
Five, spread vicious rumors that John Ashcroft is straight.
Ooh. Right.
Ouch.
That's a liberal agenda. Ouch. Ooh.
Ouch indeed.
Well, man, thanks for finally stopping by. If you're ever up again or you can't sleep, you know.
Insomnia, come on by.
Like, you know, like, oh, man, it's 6:30. What am I going to do? Just
oh, you know, sometimes
here.
I party all night. I'll come right.
Yeah.
I'll party right.
I'm here. Smell that
good. Let me on the air. Come on, let me in the room.
Robin's just banging outside.
Yep. I'm not drunk.
Really, thanks for coming.
That's all right. We got compliance security, that's for sure. Thanks for being able to come back again, please.
We have security? Amazing.
Yeah.
I got through them today.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, it's not difficult.
I said I'm famous.
I'm Mark Maron. Morning's edition is on tape for Memorial Day, but we'll be back live tomorrow morning.
Many nasty things you've read in the reviews. They think we're queer because we sing the news. Did you know the 911 hearings have begun to resonate? As scandals go, this one could be even worse than Watergate. Did you know when Ashcroft took his turn and stepped into the ring to tell the whole truth under God? It's too bad he didn't sing. Did you know that George Bush finally faced the press and kept them all at bay? Stuttered, smirked, danced around and didn't have that much to say. But he promised on June 30th he'll hand over Iraq. We won't know who will take the reins till they consult the Zodiac.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.